Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yeah, dig it. Yeah.
Welcome to another edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. And you can find me...
We're all gonna die!
You can find me at Folsom County. This is something else. And I think quite apropos, considering tonight's topic. Now, as I said, you can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm scared.
Scared for me?
I'm scared for everybody.
I'm simply...
The thunder is terrible. The lightning is close. And the white horse bike's already flooded.
It is. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to make it through here. But anyway.
Well, all we need is a glass-bottom boat, and we're fine.
Now, Omega Slide, Chris Green, our MMA analyst, will not be here tonight. He has excused himself from tonight's proceedings.
Are you serious?
No, he was on a family vacation.
Oh.
So.
I generally don't pay attention to what's said after the show's over.
Well, that's good to know. That's when I, you know, block out the next episode. That's when I
You listen to him usually.
Oh, well, yes. Mm. Yes. So, of course, you can read the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com.
It was a wild and stormy night.
Yes, it was. You can also follow the official Twitter at HIACTalkRadio on Twitter, of course. I said that. Good Lord. I said that twice already. Now you can also follow.
I can understand your distraction.
The Facebook at Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. And, my goodness, we're also on iTunes and Stitcher. Just go to iTunes, subscribe, and you don't even have to worry about it.
And listen, I just want to point out, aren't you excited the quarterfinals were announced?
I am tingling with anticipation. You know what? I might as well go there and find out, because we do have a little bit of time to, like I said... You know,
how's your internet still on? Everybody else is dead around you.
I know. You know what? We have a generator back up here. I'm telling you, we're all right here. There we go. The wrestling fan page. That's where I'm going. Of course, on Facebook. And that is New Moon Rising Wrestling Fan Page, all one word.
Jumbled up as usual.
Well, there's capitals and stuff. So let's take a look, Dan. Let's take a look at these quarterfinals.
Am I not part of the
fan page? What? Yeah, there's a fan page, Dan.
Oh, I know where I am, yes.
Now it looks like Matt Saigon is taking on Crazy Ivan, Dan.
Don't say that word.
Are you Harry Barnett all of a sudden?
No, it's some Yank boy getting mad with you.
So that's the opening quarterfinal match, it would appear.
Well, that's going to be a good match, I think.
Yeah. And, of course, we also have Ty Reno taking on Kay Koa, the Flying Hawaiian.
That actually is going to be a good match as well.
Justin America taking on O-Dog.
Boring.
And Mike Reed taking on the luckiest man on the face of this earth, LJ Green.
Why?
Well, he was lucky because he had a referee on the take and, you know, things of that nature.
Well, I will agree with you. I don't understand why they reversed that decision. I mean, that was a clear abuse, as we say. And I don't know how Joe Gacy didn't get through that.
Me neither.
But
I had words. I haven't spoken to Joe, or should I say Mr. Gacy. I haven't spoken to Mr. Gacy since that night.
I will say this, right before you went through the corner, he was yelling at you, and I was glad to see, I thought you were dead when you didn't come back at first.
Well, I came back. You know, we had words. He left angrily.
Is he waiting outside your window? Is that why the thunder is there?
It could be.
Can you do me a favor? Can you let him kill you so we get past this part?
Good Lord.
Jesus.
This is not good for anybody.
Late one evening.
I'm going down with the ship tonight, let me tell you.
Late one evening in 2011, the factory went down, and hell followed with it.
Out here. And who knows? Maybe Joe Gacy is out there with a pitchfork.
Wouldn't it be crazy if you looked out, there's a lightning strike, and all you saw was the silhouette of a man holding a chainsaw?
I think that's what happened to Tank. And I'd like to say, I hope Tank's enjoying his retirement.
It looks like he is. I see the pictures he posts on Facebook, and not one of them is of training of wrestling. I think you've scared him away.
Well, you know. He
won't talk about it.
Certainly hasn't. Certainly hasn't, that no good Tank Tolan.
I still don't understand what you have against him, but that's fine.
No comment, Dan.
That's fine. It's not about us tonight. It's about Aaron.
What is it about? Yeah, tell me what it's about, Dan. I want to hear from your perspective.
Your perspective. My perspective is Aaron Gainey has been in this business. Well, how many years has he been in the business?
17 years.
Okay, I was going to say over 15 years. And he's trained, he's wrestled, he's been through some companies, and let's just say we spoke to him, just not even 2 weeks ago.
It wasn't that long ago, no.
And he came to us and he was like, listen, I have some things to say. I want to get off my chest, good and bad, and I'd like to use your show as a vehicle, and that's pretty much it. I just realized that I'm talking very loudly over the thunder that's not happening on my side.
It's happening here.
Yeah, so I'm sorry if I... It's like somebody on a cell phone and the other person's staticky, so the other person goes, what? I can't hear you! It doesn't do anything.
It really doesn't, Dan.
No. But, Aaron's got some things to say, and this could get interesting either way.
I believe tonight will be a very interesting evening.
Well, he's either going to have some things to say or you're going to die by lightning strike.
One or the other. And I say either one, Dan, is entertainment for the masses.
Yes, as long as you wake up when it's over.
Entertainment, Dan, for the masses. Struck by lightning, Aaron Gainey goes off. One
as
or the other.
As long as the neighbor doesn't think you're just eating, you fell asleep eating pizza for a week.
Oh, you had to throw in a test comment, Dan. I don't know.
But I wonder if he's okay. He hasn't moved. Probably not a good thing.
Probably not, indeed.
I would, send somebody over there and not wait a week.
So when does Crowning Glory take place, Dan? I know we kind of got off the topic. That's what?
I'm sorry.
July 20th.
July 20th, $10 a ticket, exit 25A off 295 building.
4W.
Building 4W.
Westville.
And Westville.
Deptford.
Deptford County Township.
Something.
Grove.
Now, before we get Aaron on, what I want to say is it was very odd how this all came together. And once he actually gets here, we're going to go over it with him. Now,
I mean, you say odd. It wasn't that odd, really.
Well, no, I'm saying you have to go back to the Genesis, Dan. And this is what I'm saying.
Phil Collins?
There was a rather vocal public split between the Monster Factory and New Moon Rising Wrestling. Very vocal, very...
There was?
Very public. And Aaron chose to ply his... Shut up, Dan. And Aaron chose to ply his wares with the Monster Factory. And it was 100% Monster Factory. To the point, he even came on this show in October of last year, and he had to plug the Monster Factory website at least, 30 times?
Monsterfactory.org.
I wasn't asking you to do so.
Oh, sorry. I got confused.
You did.
30 times at least, but I wanted to point this out before you said anything. To my knowledge, really didn't say anything up to that point.
Up to what point?
Point of coming on our show.
He hasn't publicly said anything. Privately, there have been rumblings, much like the thunder that rolls outside.
Right. Yeah. What I'm saying, before he came on our show in October...
Oh, as far as which side he fell upon?
No, I mean, I knew he'd choose Monster Factory because that's where he wrestled, but he really did not say anything like... there was a lot of poo-flinging back and forth, and I don't recall, was really part of it.
Oh, no, he never was.
He kept his mouth shut until he was like, hey, you guys stop getting in the middle of it. And I said, I like being in the middle of it.
You do? I don't. You live 500 miles away. Maybe that's why you enjoy it.
Well, and let me point out again, the only one flinging poo on this show was me. Dean Dixon was getting blamed for it. It was beautiful.
I'm glad you feel that way, Dan.
Well, I mean, it's in the past. It's funny now.
No, not really.
A little bit.
Steroid, angry.
Oh, no, element. That's not funny. I only wish I was there for that, because I would have said...
Showing up at the proving...
I would have said something stupid, and I would have gotten chased by a steroid fiend.
I don't think the opportunity would have presented, but we'll talk about that, because Aaron is aware of that. And I want to hear his side of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's aware of what happened that night.
Was he aware of the meeting that you were trying to go to that I begged you not to go to?
Perhaps. perhaps we'll talk about that as well.
Have we ever talked about that on the show?
No, okay. And it's barely been brought up in public either.
Oops.
No, I'm just saying, people that know about it, but wow. So at this point, Dan, I'm going to play some a Mystery Man song, and then I'm hoping it all works out somehow.
Bad timing, yeah.
You know, sometimes the timing works, sometimes it doesn't. So I'm going to play Mystery Man, Keep My Heat On, because it seems apropos, and we'll be back, hopefully, with Aaron Gainey.
is the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, from New Moon Rising Wrestling. Have you ever dreamed of having your birthday party inside a professional wrestling ring? Well, now is your opportunity. You've seen the rest. Now it's time to experience the best. At New Moon Rising Wrestling's birthday bash birthday parties, we don't just offer unique and affordable party options. We create memories that will last a lifetime. We offer three outstanding party packages. All packages include great photo opportunities with the wrestlers and real championship belts, along with fun in a professional wrestling ring. For more information, go to nmrwrestling.com or call 609-820-2793 for the New Moon Rising Wrestling Birthday Bash.
That was a very appropriate song for the evening. Keep My Heat On by the Mystery Men. Follow the Mystery Men at The Mystery Men on Twitter. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not very good at intros, and I don't think this man really needs one. Former member of the Nigerian Nightmares. And ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Aaron Ganey.
Use a beat writer, a pop style taker. I pay it to your face, you ain't shit but a faker. So for the Alice with a chaser. About to get murdered for the paper. Edie, I mean approach the scene of the caper. Like a loke, with low season and a choke, don't smoke. We ain't no motherfucking joke, dog. Like niggas better be known. We approaching in a wide open gun smoking. No need for hoping it's a battle lost. I got him close as soon as the funk is popping off. Nigga, I hit him up.
Now you tell me who won. I see them, they run. They don't wanna see us. Whole Junior Mafia clique dressing up trying to be us. How the fuck they gonna be the mob when we always on our job? We millionaires. Killing ain't fair, but somebody gotta do it. Oh yeah, Mob Deep. You wanna fuck with us? You little young ass motherfuckers. Don't one of you niggas got sickle cell or something? You fucking with me, nigga. You fuck around, have a seizure or a heart attack. You better back the fuck up when you get smacked the fuck up. It's how we do it on our side. Any of you niggas from New York that wanna bring it, bring it. But we ain't singing, we bringing drama. Fuck you and your motherfucking mama. We gonna kill all you motherfuckers.
Yo. I think Dean's dead. Aaron, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
I'm fine. I'm
there. There you go. Hey.
I'm doing good. I said this is the one of the former Nigerian Nightmares, a man with 17 years in this business. It is Aaron Ganey. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Well, I must say that had to be the shittiest entrance I ever heard in my life, but it's cool.
What are you talking about?
You forgot that I'm a Hall of Famer. Okay, I'm an independent wrestling Hall of Famer because you were there, Mr. Dixon.
I tried to put that night, not because you were put into the Hall of Fame, but I tried to push that night far from my mind. But go ahead.
Well, listen, there were prestigious men that have gotten this award. Tom Brandy, you know, Rockin' Rebel, Glenn Osborne, Southern Enforcer. You know, these prestigious guys have gotten this award. And, you know, I follow through and I'm a Hall of Famer.
You are now, a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I am. That's something that can never be taken away from me. I am, you know, myself, Aaron Ganey, not my football, nothing like that. But that more importantly, the Dean of Credibility.
That's right.
Who named you that? That sounds familiar. Dean Dixon, please tell the story.
You want the story told of how the Dean of Credibility came into play. Well, the last time you were on the show, of course, you attacked my credibility because I was... I chose a side with New Moon Rising Wrestling, and you were on the other end of the spectrum with the Monster Factory, and you said, hey, you're a broadcast journalist. You should stay neutral. You're going to lose credibility. Right after you, the Knight Rider Robert Knight came on, and he said, credibility, you're the Dean of Credibility. And from that point on, I have been the Dean of Credibility. Goes back to October of last year.
Exactly. Stop the Midas touch. And you know what? October last year, after I say that, I went right into a coma and everything. So, you know, maybe you had something to do with it.
Be careful with what you say. I mean, talking about Dean gets people in trouble.
But no, I actually like you guys. I actually like you, Dean, and the other fat guys, the other two fat guys. I don't remember their names. But, yeah. I actually like you guys, you know. Eric, I love you guys. Yeah, I don't like too many people. You know, I really got faked it all these years of fake liking people, but I honestly say I'm not kissing your ass because I don't think this is helping my career or anything. It's probably hurting it, but I actually do like you guys now. So I wouldn't have given you the exclusive if I did.
That's very true. I know that you were at least scheduled to be on Completely Damaged with RC.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be on today with RC, but I overslept. You know, it is what it is. RC, I know a guy that I helped in the business. I helped a lot of people. You know, I helped you, Mr. Dixon. I helped RC. And RC is a very good friend of mine. You know, when I was in a coma, he actually came and saw me when I was on life support. He didn't know it. He said I was asleep.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Can I get a laugh after that? I mean, yeah, it's kind of funny. You know what I mean?
I didn't know how to take it. I
didn't
know if I'm allowed to laugh at that. I mean, are we allowed to laugh yet?
That's funny as fuck. I'm sitting there in the night support, you know, out of it. This fucker thinks I'm asleep, you know. I'm just, you know, I'm dead, you know. But, yeah, you know. But, nah, that's my boy, you know.
Now, Aaron, I do want to conduct somewhat of a chronological, to a degree, of your career.
Good luck.
Now, yeah, right. but how did you decide so many years ago, 17 years and counting at this point, to pick up the phone and go to the Monster Factory to start training?
Okay, now, this little shoot, I want people to know the real Aaron Gaty, because I don't think people really know the real me unless you really, really know me and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because I played a character in the ring, I played Ma Fu, and even out of the ring, you know, I played a character, because I acted like I liked people, and I'm not a people person, really. A lot of people I really didn't like, and I just acted like it with the fake smile and everything. That smile's phony, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm going to show the real Aaron Gaty, and whether people like it or not. See, my thing is this: when I was in that coma, I know I'm out of order, but I'll get in order. But when I was in that coma, I think the old Aaron Gaty died, and the new, wiser, smarter Aaron Gaty has arisen.
Oh well.
So I see who my friends are and who's not. I see it all. I see.
Well, why don't we take it from there then? From the coma.
Let's start from the beginning. You're right.
I'm just trying to follow your footsteps.
Okay, we're going to start from the little pudgy fat kid Aaron Gaty. I was a little pudgy fat kid. I grew up to be a pudgy fat adult, but I was a little pudgy fat kid, and I used to look like Gary Coleman from Different Strokes. And Gary Coleman was hot back then, okay? So I was getting a lot of girls, and the girls were loving me and stuff like that. Gary Coleman was hot. And then that fucker did, you know, wasn't hot anymore. And then I was just a fat fuck, little fat black kid, and with tight clothes because I didn't have big clothes back then. And people teased me because I was, you know, just a little fat fuck. And went to school and stuff. And in the midst of people teasing me, I would eat and stuff like that, and watch wrestling. That's all I did was eat and watch wrestling. I didn't need any girls or anything like that. I was a little fat fuck. You know, fat people wasn't cool. Biggie wasn't out then. There was no fat role models. No sex symbols or anything like that. So I was a little fat kid. So I went to, I embraced professional wrestling. And the first vision that I ever saw in wrestling was I was watching a commercial for the old Prism Sports Network. Prism used to have movies and sports. And it's so special.
Yeah, Prism. Yeah, the good old days. They had Spectrum Wrestling, NHL hockey, baseball. Great channel, man.
Yeah, great channel. And then it became Stars, and it became worldwide, and it sucks now.
Yeah,
Prism had a commercial, and the commercial showed the Sixers, like Dr. J, Daryl Dawkins, showed some hockey guys. But one of the clips they showed was Dusty Rhodes beating the shit out of Billy Graham in a bull rope match, and they were both bloody. You know, back then you could show that. and it just amazed me and made me start watching wrestling. My older brother put me on to it, and I saw Hulk Hogan, and I used to laugh because I was a little fucking kid. I was like 3 years old, but I used to laugh because Hogan had the same name as Hogan's Heroes. So I used to laugh, Hulk Hogan, Hogan's Heroes. And then I watched it and watched it, and then I used to see Killer Khan, and Killer Khan used to make me I cringe because he used to, his hits looked believable, and I used to feel sorry for the jobbers. I used to feel real soft for them. And my mother brought me, I asked her to buy me a wrestling magazine when we was at the newsstand in Norristown. I grew up in Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And it was sport, the first magazine was Sports Review Wrestling with Jack Briscoe beating the shit out of Ric Flair, and Ric Flair was bloody, and he was punching him, and I've been hooked ever since. Buying magazines, all the after mags, all the other magazines that sucked. The other ones really didn't suck, but they had nice pictures. I just bought magazines. And then I met, my world changed when I was 12, and I met the set of twins, Eddie and Chuck Bell. Better known Chuck E. Chuck E. is Nigerian Nightmare Safu. And Eddie was his twin brother. He's known as Ironhead and Deegas and D-Row, a couple other things, you know, and that's his twin. And the three of us clicked, you know, we always used to wrestle. And they were bigger than me. They were like, kind of like bullies. I was their sidekick, and they would beat the shit out of me. You know, girls would be around, and they would give me the Doomsday device and stuff, and they made me look, give me wedgies and stuff, and they were bullies. And it's funny that, you know, it looks, see it now, see them now, and see me, you really can't picture that, but, you know, I was, they're older than me, you know, they were huge in my eyes, and they used to beat the shit out of me. But, you know, it was all love and stuff like that, because they were allowed to beat the shit out of me, but nobody else was. So they would have my back. They would have my, well, Eddie Moore. I had more. Chuck really wasn't a fighter or anything like that. Which we'll talk about that shit later on.
Yes.
And we all liked wrestling, and we always said, we made a pact that when we get older, we're going to become professional wrestlers. All right, I went to high school, and I got into a thing called Pussy. And it's a thing that actually took my desire away from wrestling. And it was strong. Now, I didn't get any pussy in high school, but I smelled the aroma. I was around it. And the females, you know, you know what pussy does to you, right, dude?
Yeah.
Dean doesn't really know. I do.
I'm well aware. Well aware of the pussy. I'm well aware of the pussy, yes. Go on, Eric.
Yeah, exactly. Fat guys, I'm sure y'all have pussy too, right? You know, just, you know. Fat guys.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll back you up on that one.
Right, I mean, what are you guys offended? You guys like fat guys? I'm fat too, right? So embrace that shit, all right? Dean, you got these guys, they're not allowed to talk or what? They just watching.
No, I was afraid to cut you off. That's all.
Yeah, we were just letting you go.
All right, I'll join in. Especially being fatter, you try harder, especially when it comes to the pussy.
Exactly. I don't know what the fuck you just said, but yeah, man, so...
That's why he wasn't talking. But go ahead.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you went through high school. You guys already made the pact. Let's pick it up from there.
I just like the word pussy.
So,
well, that's what happened.
When I went to high school, it was on the brain, man, on the mind, everything. But when I went to high school, I was in ninth grade. I was in ninth grade, and Ironhead Eddie was in 12th grade. And Chucky was in 12th grade. Now, Ironhead Eddie, he hung with me, protected me. Chucky acted like he was too good. You know, I'm not hanging with a freshman. And he acted like he didn't know me when we was in school. But out of school, he was my buddy. But in school, he acted like he didn't know me. But, you know, I let that slide, you know. And you're going to hear me keep saying I let that slide with Chucky the whole show. But I let that slide. We were kids. And then I, you know, graduated from high school, and I fell into a good job, actually. When I got the good job, I was hanging with this guy named James Brister Sr. And we worked together, and we were cool. We jazz and joke and stuff, and we would hang out. And one day, when we was hanging out, he said, "Listen, I'm going to corrupt you, and I'm too old to hang with you. So I got a son. I think you should hang with my son." And I said, "Okay." And he introduced me to his son, and the guy was huge to me at the time, huge. And it was James Brister Jr., aka Dr. Rufus. He walks up, and I look at him, and he looks at me, and I said, "Hey, what's up?" He said, "Hey." I said, "You're fat and black." He said, "Yeah, you're fat and black." I said, "Yeah." I said, "You like wrestling?" He said, "Yeah, you?" "Yeah." I said, "You want to be a wrestler?" He was like, "Yeah." "All right, well, look, I'm going to look into some wrestling schools." He was like, "All right." I'm thinking he's bullshitting. So I did look into some wrestling schools. I looked into Todd Gordon's wrestling school, ECW wrestling school, and I talked to Todd Gordon. And I said, "Todd Gordon, you know, I'm working second shift. So you have practice in the morning. I'll do whatever. You can come in the morning. The pit bulls will train you, and you can go to work and this and that." So I said, "Oh, okay, that sounds good." And I told Brister, and we were going to go. But he wanted, like, a good amount of money down. It was still $3,500, but he wanted a good amount of money down, which, you know, we could have saved up and got it because we had a good job. But the kicker was the pit bulls were going to train us. So the pit bulls were great, you know, but great. I had no problem with them. But in my mind, I said, I should go to the school that trained the pit bulls. And Bam Bam Bigelow was my favorite wrestler, and I loved Pretty Boy Larry Sharp. And I lived in Philly, you know, I mean, in Norristown, and we saw the Philly stations, and Larry Sharp and Bigelow were on a lot of Philly talk shows and stuff promoting the Monster Factor.
Yeah.
Years before that. So I went to, I called the Monster Factory, and Larry answered the phone, and I was shocked. I thought that, you know, wrestlers were rich, and he had like a secretary and stuff like that, and now I heard Larry's voice, I knew exactly who it was, because he has a distinctive voice.
Yeah.
And he asked me, how much did I have on me? Do I have any money? I said, "I really don't have anything, but, you know, I paid, you know, something weekly or something." And he was like, "Yeah, we could do that. Come to the factory." I went to the factory. Larry Sharp was there. I felt like a kid. I was marking out. And Ruthless shows up, and we took some bumps in the ring. And he said, "You guys are not athletes, but I can make these guys wrestlers." And it just went on from there. We would go an hour on Saturday and Sunday. We would work out with this guy named Chuck Sloan. Trained us. Chuck Sloan, yeah, he's a good guy. And he for an hour on Saturday and Sunday. And then, you know, Brister would leave, but I would stay because, you know, I always wanted to be great. You know, I've been watching wrestling since I was a kid. So I stayed when the Revets would come in. And it was like Balls Mahoney, the Headbangers. There was a whole bunch of guys that I was afraid of. I was really afraid of them. And they wouldn't talk to me. But Balls did. He talked to me and stuff, and he taught me a couple of things. And I would stay. And they would just beat the shit out of me, and I earned their respect. So I started coming there Thursdays and Fridays, too, with the Vets. And I earned their respect. And then I started going, I met Mark Mess, and I started going to his school during the week. And then I started going to Office School during the week. So imagine, I'm going to Mark Mess' school one day, Office School one day, and in 4 days I'm going to the Monster Factory. Because that's how much I really wanted it.
Being a bigger guy never discouraged you while you were training? You just kept going for it?
Well, they trained us like little guys. That's the thing. Like, we would get in the ring with other people from the Monster Factory, and they would say, "Why are they showing you? Why do they show you these moves?" Because they everything that you would show a regular sized guy, they showed us. So me and Bristol were like monkey flipping each other and flying head scissors and stuff. They trained us like little guys, and they trained us to be tag team wrestlers. So that's all I knew was tag team wrestling. You know what I'm saying? So
right. That's
the way I was trained. So that's why if you see me in the ring, I was doing moves that I did because that's how they trained me.
Jeez.
No. But when I got there, it was right after the Big Show had just left. And they hated him. They kept saying, oh, Paul did this and Paul did that. And we showed Paul how to do all these moves. He can do moonsaults and do all this and that. And he does nothing on TV as the Giant. And Paul did say they shitted on him. And El Fuerte Ricano was in ECW at the time. And he was at the Monster Factory. He was still a rookie. People hated him. I didn't know about wrestling jealousy, but people hated him. They used to talk trash about him. He would do the job at the shows, and I couldn't understand why this guy's on national TV, and he's jobbing out to no-name Monster Factory guys. You know what I'm saying? But I realized now why, because he's doing the job on TV all the time, so it would make everybody look weak if he's beating everybody there. So... I understand now, but I was there, and me and James had to come up with names and stuff like that. Larry said, what names do you have? I came up with Dr. Ruthless. I was going to be Dr. Ruthless, and James Brister was going to be Sniper X, which is the stupidest name ever. I thought it was really, really stupid. So, Sniper X, can you imagine that? So,
I don't get that one at all. I really don't see.
It's really dumb. And I knew it at the time. It was stupid. So I thought of another name for myself. I used to wear a hoodie and with sleeves cut off at wrestling practice. So I said, hey, you know, just be Mr. Hood. So I said his name. I said, I'll be Mr. Hood. He was like, oh, okay. Can I have Dr. Rufus's name? Because he acted like he didn't like the name. So he really was secretly wanting that name. So after I switched to Mr. Hood, he was like, yo, can I have that name? I said, sure. Gave it to him, Dr. Ruthless. I said, hey, why don't we be the Himalaya Players? Because I heard a saying, the player from the Himalayas. And he said, okay. And we became the Himalaya Players. And our first match was in Paulsboro, believe it or not. And it was, I can't remember the date, but it was in Paulsboro, and we teamed up and we wrestled J.R. Ryder and East L.A. Angel. It was our first match ever, and it was for Dennis Caraluso, NWA. And we didn't know that how big it was at the time of wrestling in the NWA. And because they were like the WWF's developmental league unofficially. And we didn't know how big it was. There was a lot of jealousy from the other workers at the Monster Factory because they didn't understand why these two big black guys, fat guys that just come on, they're rookies, they're green, and they're getting a good shot there. And we wrestled, and we went over, and J.R. Ryder and Angel did the job, and they was happy to do it, and we was, you know, everything was cool, and it went off from there. And we had little success as the players, you know.
Did you ever catch any... shit backstage being the fat black guy getting all these shots?
Not to our face, but I'm sure behind the back. Because when you're big and black, you're going to go over most of the time. And that's just what it is. And at the time, there wasn't that many big black guys. You got to remember, this is 97. There wasn't that many out there besides Men on a Mission. So we were like, we were different, you know what I mean? So we were beating a lot of guys. I mean, we had matches with the Misfits, man. Very bloody matches, man. Pitbulls came, and they weren't jobbing to nobody, and they volunteered to do the job to us, and we beat them. You know, it was a good run. We were the Himalaya Players and stuff, and then, we split up, and I remember having a conversation when me and James was in wrestling school. We were sitting in a car at work, because we had worked together, and he said, listen, whatever we do, no dancing and no painting like Kamala.
Yeah.
That's sellout shit. And we shook hands, and we said, yeah. And now look, Rufus is dancing, and we did the Kamala thing, you know. So that's the first half. Yeah.
So after the Himalaya Players broke up, is that when the Nightmares were born?
Yeah, I left the business for a little bit. James and Ron Starr were teaming up at the Himalaya Players. It was pretty watered down, and, you know, they did whatever. You know what I'm saying? They had no success with it. It sucked, and I just sat back and chilled. And, started getting a lot of pussy at the time, and, you know, just got a lot of pussy.
That dangerous pussy.
Yeah, it does, man. It's dangerous, bro. So,
my fiance is going to kill me when she comes home.
Yeah. So, and then I wound up getting married and stuff like that, and then I snuck it on her and told her that I was used to wrestle. And I started getting bored, and I said, I need to spend time, you know, do something on the weekend with my kids. Maybe I'll get back to the business or something. They can see me wrestle. So I said, I'm getting a little older, so maybe I should get a partner so, you know, I could do tag team wrestling. Because one, you know, singles wrestling, you know, takes a lot of toll on your body. And I couldn't find a tag partner, but I found Chucky. I called Chucky, and he wasn't doing nothing. He was talking about getting back into wrestling. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to get back into wrestling. I'm going to do this this mad doctor scientist gimmick. I'm going to wear a lab coat and this. And I knew it sucked. It sucked. It's the one gimmick he had. And I was just like, look, me and you can team up, man. I said, but we got to come up with a gimmick. I said, listen, we could be two things. We could be two pretty boy fat guys with no shirts and bow ties and oiled up and this and that, and we'll have fun with that gimmick. Or we can be like two Kamalas. If we be two Kamalas, we'll probably get booked a lot. So luckily we came up with the two Kamalas. And, you know, we decided to wrestle with our shirts off, and we took some pictures at my house, and the rest was history. I just started sending them around, the pictures around, because I didn't have any video of us, of course. And I sent, we went to WWA and we wrestled a couple of matches as the Nightmares. All we did was just act like Kamala and Dino Santa liked us. And I started sending our pictures around. And I sent it to everywhere. So I had a strategy. I said, this guy, African guy named Prince Nana. I didn't know the guy. I just knew that he was an African prince. And I said, I'm going to send these pictures wherever he's at because that's an angle waiting to happen.
He's African,
so I plot stuff out. And I sent it everywhere, and Jim Kettner called me and gave me 3 dates. And we just took it from there, and that's how we got known more. And then next thing you know, the bookings just started picking up. And that was it, you know?
Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, when was the first time you guys did the Dumbo, or you came up with the Dumbo Drop, and the first time you actually sold that to an opponent to take in the ring?
Okay. Let me try to remember.
Because if I'm your guy, the guy you're working against tonight, you're like, okay, this is our finishing move. I'm scared.
All right, the first time we did the Dumbo Drop was in WWA. Now, WWA has if you've ever been to Gilbert's Urns, they have a low ceiling. And we were wrestling Adrian Bliss and I think Rodney X, and we did the Dumbo Drop. I said, you know, I didn't even call it. You know, I just grabbed Chucky for a suplex, and I suplexed him onto Adrian Bliss. I suplexed him on Adrian Bliss. It wasn't from the top rope or something. It was just regular. And I liked it, and then I said, we just started using that. And then I got tired of lifting Chucky up because Chucky doesn't jump. And he sandbagged me all the time, so it started to look really weak when we would just turn into the side and stuff like that. I'm strong, but come on, I'm only so strong. He was sandbagging me, so I came up with this genius idea that he suplexed me because I'll jump. and we did that. And then one day I said, hey, we should go from the top rope. And I do not remember the – yeah, I do. We did it. The first time we did it was in New York. We wrestled – it was either VSK or CJ Risk or something. It was one of them two. And we lied and said that we do the move all the time and it's safe. And we did it from the top rope. The fans went nuts. And that was the first time we did it. So I told him later on that was the first time we did it, though. So we laughed about it and stuff. But I decided to name it the Dumbo Drop, and that was that. So you gotta understand, with the nightmares, every ideal, every booking, every little thing was from me. Now, that's a lot of stress. It gets frustrating. You know, I was the one that woke up all night on the internet talking to these promoters that I fucking hated. I was doing all the work, and all stuff he had to do was just show up. But he was late all the time. He had a problem of being late. And we had a reputation of being late. And it caught up with us, you know. And it was stressful. My wife at the time, my ex-wife or wife at the time, came along and she helped with the merchandise. She really did. She was real to help with the merchandise. And then she came up with this gimmick of Voodoo Princess Sheeta, and she started doing this crazy stuff, this shake and stuff. And she said she used to do that as a kid and play with her sisters and do that. And once she started doing that, man, we was getting bookings everywhere, you know?
Well, thank you, honey.
The entire thing was your mind. Like, even the hoo-ha, the whole, like, pre-match ritual, that was all thought up by you.
That was all thought up by me, the pre-match ritual, everything. So you got to understand, everything was thought of and done by me. Chucky was just like a prop, like my grandma could have done what he did, and she's dead. You know what I'm saying? So think about it. I mean, I'm serious. We'll watch the matches, and you'll see that he did totally nothing. Okay? And he just said, but the thing is, he's good. You know what he's good at? He's good at looking ugly, and he really looks like a savage. He looks like a savage when he walks down the street. You know what I'm saying? He really is a savage guy. You know, but I'm not knocking him. No, I am knocking him. Fuck him. But he really didn't do too much of anything but be a pain in the ass. All he had to do was just shut the fuck up and go along for the ride. But he would be in arguments with my wife at the time. My wife would speak to him, and he wouldn't say nothing to her like a little bitch. And, you know, I remember getting us bookings in Pittsburgh. He wouldn't speak to us and just, I would get his bookings everywhere, West Virginia, this and that. He was acting like a little bitch. And people noticed it, you know what I'm saying? That's why, I'm a people person. People like me. People talk to me. When they think of the nightmares, they think of me because I'm the one that did everything. He, on the other hand, had this jealousy thing about me. And, look, promoters would come to me and say, listen, we just want to book you. And I said, no, I have a partner. This is my partner. You know, we did the ECWA. You know, I quit ECWA because Kettner wanted to just book just me and my wife at the time. And I said, no, that's my partner, and I quit. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how much of a loyal guy that I am.
Well, do you regret that decision at this point, or if you could do it all over again?
Nope, I never regret nothing that I do with life. Everything happens for a reason, and I don't regret it at all because that's what you're supposed to do. That's your partner. You stick by your partner. That's called loyalty. That's something that a lot of people really don't have. They don't have that loyalty thing, and that's the problem, and that's my whole problem with people today. And a lot of people are ungrateful. You know what I'm saying? And I've helped a lot of people in this business, and they don't have to kiss my ass or anything like that, but a lot of people, you know, thanked me and, you know, did good. But it's a lot of people that gave me their ass to kiss, too, when I needed them.
Now, what kept you going all those years when you were getting so many arguments from Chucky all those all that time?
We used to argue, we used to fight, not fight each other, you know, physically. I mean, but we used to argue because the man was late all the time, okay? And two times, I remember one time, true story, you know, I got witnesses, whatever, you know, we, me, my ex-wife, Black Sheeta, Blue Princess Sheeta, Chucky's girlfriend, who I hooked him up with, and Chucky, went to Baltimore to wrestle for EWA. And we wrestled up there. We had to do a run-in. And the thing is, we were managed by Marcus Dowling. And we had, Prodigy. PTV was in our stable. So it was me, Chucky, Marcus Dowling, Prodigy. And the owner, we came up with this genius idea. See, this is when Obama was running for president the first time. So Marcus was going to get on the microphone, berate the owner of EWA. Talk trash about him. Owner was going to come out. We were going to get a noose and hang him and paint his face black.
Oh, boy.
And I thought it was a funny idea. You know, I came up with that, too, of course, because I'm a sick motherfucker. And, you know, I think it's funny. That amuses me. So we came out, and the fans think that, you know, wrestling was real, and I don't know, we're in makeup or slobbering savages, but they thought it was real. They were throwing shit and trying to climb the railings. They were calling us niggas. We put the noose on them, but we didn't get a chance to paint his face black. Wrestlers were coming out in the street. Nah, I play. We never wrestled there before, so we didn't know who was a wrestler and who was a fan. And wrestlers were grabbing the microphone, calling us niggas, trying to get heat or something. And next thing you know, everybody's jumping the rail, and somebody hit me in the mouth or something. So I went off, and I started beating the shit out of everybody, right? I'm fucking people up. I'm just swinging and beating the shit out of everybody. My ex-wife is beating the shit out of people. And Chucky's girlfriend's beating the shit out of people. Chucky's standing there like a little bitch. And there's seven people on me. And I'm doing good, man. I'm beating the shit. I'm throwing people at people, beating the shit out of people, and Chucky's standing there. Okay? Which is fucked up. And I'm hitting everybody, black, white. I hit, he came up to me one day and said that I punched him, and I hit him hard that night. God, what's the black guy that does the vampire gimmick? Not Jose. I'm talking about he does the Undertaker, black guy does the Undertaker gimmick towards, like, Maryland.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, come on, Dean, the credibility, come on.
I've lost my credibility with you once again.
But anyway, I hit him. He was doing security at the time, and I hit him, and I was just hitting everybody. Because anybody close to me, I was hitting. And on the way home, you know, we're laughing and stuff because, you know, the fight was pretty fun and everything. And, you know, Chucky wasn't laughing. I'm like, oh, why ain't he laughing? Then Chucky started explaining everything that was going on and stuff. And my ex-wife was like, hey, Chuck, how'd you see all of that? So we realized that he's standing there and he wasn't doing shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you get into a fight and you're a worker, yeah, help your partner, you know?
So what,
that's a lot.
What kept you going all those times? Because it sounds like even though you were getting booked, there was a lot of internal turmoil.
He's such a fuck-up. You guys don't notice it, but he would fuck up every match. He would fuck up spots. Every fucking match. You guys didn't notice it, I'd cover it up. It's cool. But he would fuck up every match. Okay. And yeah, you know, it just was what it was. And we were getting booked a lot. And then all of a sudden he couldn't make bookings and this and that. So I got his twin brother to replace him at some shows. People didn't notice. And he would get mad about that. And he was just a little jealous, man. He was just it was like some real baby shit. But here's the thing. In the midst of all that, I let his girl, her kids, and him move into my house. Had a house. They moved into my house for a year and a half, huh?
Move.
We break bread. Yes, I let them move into my house. And my daughters had their own room. I took my one daughter out of her room to share with my other daughter so Chucky and his family could stay there. That's how much of a good guy that I was. Well, you know, I did it for like a year and a half and stuff.
Now,
again, I'm going to ask a question. Maybe the dean of credibility needs to ask this question. I don't know. But there's all this, like, he's a horrible worker in the ring. Your words, not mine. He's a fuck-up. He's just doing it. Why keep on going on with him as your partner?
Because we were getting booked so many times, so many places. We were continuously getting booked that why change it? You know what I'm saying? Why all of a sudden just change it? At the time, 50 million nightmares are in now. But at the time, why change it when nobody else noticed it? Yeah, he's a pain in the ass, but we were getting looked at by, you know, some top feds, you know? So I kept it the way that it was.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So, if you want to go in chronological order, then, you know, me and my ex-wife had a falling out, so she had to disappear. And then we got Shalisa, or Jai Shanze, I should say, to come in and take her place, which it didn't work out because nobody could have took Sheena's place because she couldn't do anything different than what Sheena could do. She really couldn't do too much. She was pretty limited.
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking her. You know, good-looking, good girl. She's a nice girl, but she was fairly limited. You know, she didn't want it as much as my ex-wife wanted it. You know what I'm saying? So it just
well,
was
she's
what
a,
it was.
I mean, she's a singer primarily, right?
Don't stop it. See, then you go starting stuff. Dean, you talk to Dean Dixon. Dean Dixon's always gotten
no,
started.
No, when we had, you told me to check out her thing. I thought she was a
stop
singer
it.
Primarily.
Stop it. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice with her, okay? You want me to shoot her and I'm not singing her. No, I'm
not trying
okay?
to. I'm not trying to. Just the first
you
time
you saw the clip. You just tried to get me to say, no, I'm not going there. You saw the clip. You just see yourself, all right?
Okay, well, you told me to check out the single the first time you were on. So, anyway.
Okay.
Now, around this time,
yeah.
Around this time, the split between the Factory and New Moon Rising Wrestling happened, right around that time. Do you care to go into any detail about that? Because at the time, you weren't saying much of anything.
Yeah, I'll talk about anything, and I'll talk about anything that I know. Remember, this is open, this is a shoot. New Moon Rising, and we were two-time New Moon Rising Tag Team Champions, you know. First time, me and Chucky won it, and the second time, Chucky wasn't there again, and I had to win it on my own, of course, you know. But,
God, you suck, Chucky.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, man, that damn Chuck.
God!
So, listen, so it was a split. And before the split, I said, listen, you know, I've seen splits happen before. Let's work it out, whatever. See, they had inside stuff that I really didn't know about money and stuff like that and everything. And I knew, really didn't know too much about what was going on the inside. You know what I mean? But all I know is I came to New Moon because of Jake Bishop. Jake Bishop contacted me and said he had a lead. And he said, can you work for me? And I gave him the lowest price ever, okay? Just so I wanted to work for Jake because he is my friend. We started in the business. He started in the business maybe a couple months after me, okay? I was showing him how to lock up, okay? And Jake Bishop was my friend. I had come back several times to the Atlas Monster Factory to come visit him. Jake was loyal to Ed Atlas, and Ed Atlas came to the Monster Factory, and we all left because we were like, who the fuck is Dickhead? We don't know him, and he's talking a bunch of shit, so we left. Jake stayed, and Jake was my friend, and I went to New Moon because it was his. I didn't, at the time, didn't like doing little indies or whatever. I ain't saying I was too big or anything like that, but we were doing pretty well. But when Jay called me, I jumped at it because he's my friend. And then Larry Sharp came aboard, right?
Yeah.
Larry Sharp came aboard, and it was great, okay? The Monster Factory was starting to come back, and you got Jake Bishop there, and everything was everything. And then they had this split. You guys want to going towards or something, or what?
Go.
Oh,
by all means, please.
Okay.
All right,
you got the roadmap. I'm just in the car with you.
Yeah, okay, Dean, credibility. Now you'll send me neutral. So anyway.
This was his right, idea, so by the way.
All right, so I go, they have this split. I didn't know, they're talking about the internet hits and bills and phone bills and all this shit that I didn't care about. I didn't know. I don't know if you watch or anything like that. And I used to go regret things that I do in life, but I made a mistake. I really did. And I went with the Monster Factory. And later on, I wound up calling Jake, and I apologized, man. I said, listen, I'm sorry that I was thinking about business instead of friendship. Like, I should have jumped with you and had your back instead of going to the Monster Factory and jumping when they did the split. And I apologized, and he accepted my apology. And, we were friends and everything, everything was everything. You notice I never, in the midst of this back and forth war, said anything. You notice I wouldn't say anything or, even try to even get into it or anything like that, because everybody was cool with me. It's even guys I just met at New Moon or whatever, they were cool. So why should I shit on them because they wrestle or work for New Moon or own part of New Moon or anything like that?
Now, when the split first happened, was it business as usual at Monster Factory, or was it already coming apart for you?
The split first happened, and the Monster got a good building, and Jake got a good building, and everything was everything. But it was, talk back and forth, but at first it was me and Dan, and I came up with a lot of ideas and got the Monster Factory a lot of exposure. I got the Monster Factory to book at conventions because of my connections.
Right.
I that little TV show I thought of, I said, hey, we should have a YouTube TV show and this and that. There's a lot of things that I thought of that Dan would take credit for, but I would sit back in the cut, He would mention him and Larry and stuff like that. No, I would just sit back in the cut, And I didn't complain or whatever, but a lot of my deals was for myself. A lot of the hookups, a lot of guys that work there, I've worked them there. You know what I'm saying? So then Dan was a good guy at first. And then as he got more power and stuff, he turned into a dick?
A dickhole?
Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah,
you
dick,
did. Yes,
dick,
yes.
Fuckface, asshole, scumbag, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And, people were, what's up with your boy? And I started getting, I had to keep defending him. Like, no, he's not like that. He's a good dude. He's a good guy. But he was starting to become a dick. But when that dick transferred to becoming a dick towards me, then that's a fucking problem. I started to get disrespected. And he got to the point where it's either beat his ass or just leave. I'm not used to people talking to me any type of way. Seriously, I'm not used to that shit. So he got to that point, and he would get mad because I was friends with guys from New Moon. So he'd be like, "It's little kitty shit, man. This is serious. Listen, everything that I'm saying is honest to God, okay? Hand on Bible, okay? So I'm not going to sit here and just lie to make myself look good because I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck. I'm not trying to get booked anywhere. But what I'm saying is Dan would call me up like 3 in the morning and just be bitch about me being friends with Jake and guys in New Moon. And we had a Monster Factory snitch. Oh, somebody told me that you like the status for New Moon and it doesn't look right. And if someone said you shouldn't be friends with them. And I'm like, are you serious? Hey, be serious. I'm like, how you going to question my friendship with you, bro? So listen, he had this Garen Memorial Cup or whatever, memorial show that he for me when I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was great, but the guys
did
that
you
were
see
booked.
did you see a penny of it, though? Did you see a penny of that?
Sure, I did. Listen,
okay.
Dan is not, Dan, listen, for as long as I've known Dan, Dan is not a criminal.
Okay.
I've known Dan, and he doesn't steal. So I can leave my wallet out or leave $100 out, and Dan could walk by it, and I know he's not going to steal it. And this is coming from me, okay? I'm not going to sit here and shit on him. About shit that's just not true to me.
Right,
I trust Dan money. Now, what happened was, you know, they had this memorial show, and a lot of guys, he didn't book guys that, you know, you would think that you have a memorial show for me that there will be guys booked that, you know, were my friends.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he got a friend, but if you ask me what the card was, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know. You would think that, you know, Aaron Gainey Memorial Show, I would know the card and know who's on there and know this and that. But the thing is, a lot of people that I thought were my friends didn't even show up. Didn't even come to the show. I know you guys couldn't come to the show. New Moon, you know, you guys are New Moon. But I'm just saying a lot of guys didn't even come to the show. So I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. Dan was great, man. Listen, he gave me money from the show, which I gave to my kid for Christmas and stuff like that. And he bought me a laptop out of his own money. Okay? And listen, I call a spade, call it what it is. Dan is a dick, and it's like a dick, but this is what he did. And I appreciate him for that. He bought me a nice laptop, too. You know, so when I was in the hospital and stuff, I could, you know, it won't drive me crazy. You know, I could be on a laptop and, you know, because it's driving me crazy being in the hospital all that time or being, you know, down.
Right.
So he bought me a laptop and he gave me money. So I thought that was great and that was very, very great of him and stuff like that. But, just because somebody does something nice for you Thursday doesn't mean that they can shit on you on Saturday. Okay? That's what I'm saying.
I think this is a good point. I need to recharge a little bit. I'm going to play some music by the Mystery Men. We're going to listen to Set Your Phaser to Miles Davis, and we'll be back in about 3.5 minutes. Are you okay with that, Aaron?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
Yep.
Hello, guys. That's 私の名前はアキラ・トーズバです。私はミステリーメンのベースプレイヤーです。時間も割いて私たちの音楽を地域でだけありがとうございます。あなたがそれを楽しんで猫の記憶を私の驚くべき作り入れてしベースの技術宣告を席巻したりでの名前を買った。でも、マイルス・デイブルス好きです。大好きです。その素晴らしい
phasers to Miles Davis. Again, by the Mystery Men here on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Follow them on Twitter. I command you at the Mystery Men. Now, Aaron, are you back with us there?
Yeah, yeah.
Aaron. Now, you said, we mentioned the charitable. He gave you money after the memorial show, after the tribute show. And he gave you a laptop, and then you said something very interesting, which is something I hear a lot in wrestling. Somebody doing something for you on Tuesday doesn't mean they're not going to talk shit about you on Thursday. What happened? What happened? What happened to cause you to turn your back on that?
Well, I'm learning. You know, when I got sick, I had to depend on people to do things for me. And there were people that did things for me, but then they throw it in my face that they did things for me. Like, there's a guy, Kareem. The Madman Kareem, okay? I didn't know him that well. I went to West Virginia and wrestled with him a couple times. I thought he was a good guy. And we, when I was in the hospital, as soon as I got out of the coma, one of the first people I saw was him. He came to see me, and my vision was screwed up, so I saw like five of them. And this man came to see me, and he I couldn't do anything. And he fed me. He took the train up there, the buses and trains to come see me, and he would come every day. There's times that I would go to sleep and he would sit there while I'm asleep just to see if I'm okay. I switched hospitals 3-4 times, and every hospital that I went to, he would come and visit me. This man's a good guy. He's part owner, the head man of KCW. That's this weekend in Darby. It's Keystone Championship Wrestling. Keystone Championship Wrestling LLC.com. They have a show at 3:30 at the Garvey Rec Center. I will be there. So if anybody gets pissed off with my shoe and they want to show up and fight me, I'll have my bodyguards there, Prince Scooby and Seneca. Prince Scooby and Jimmy Dylan will be my bodyguards there. So, you know. No, what I'm saying is that man's a good guy. And he became a real good friend because he did things for me that people I've known for years didn't do. You know, when I was in the hospital in coma, my son's mom said, "Chucky, you know, you're going to come see Aaron?" And he said, "Why should I come see him? He's sleepy. He ain't going to see me anyway. It don't make no sense." That's the stupidest shit I ever fucking heard. You know what I'm saying? So he didn't see me when I was in a coma. So when I got out of coma, you know, when I was in the hospital all those months and all the different hospitals, that man only saw me two times. I only saw him two times. Be my partner, my road dog guy I did a lot for. Saw him twice.
Jesus.
So, now, granted, when I first went, he throws this in my face. When I first went into the hospital, he's the one that took me to the hospital when I first went. He throws it in my face like it was just the greatest, biggest thing in the world. Because he sent me a Facebook message recently. He called me an ungrateful bastard. All the stuff I've done for you.
Mother Ephra, I almost died.
Yeah, I know. And then he said, and you wonder why bad stuff always happens to you, which means I take it as you're making fun of me being in a coma because, you know, when I was in that coma for 2.5 weeks, I suffered brain damage. So my brain is I'm a little punch drunk. I sound fine right now, but there's times that I don't, where I sound like Rocky Balboa, you know what I'm saying? So I did suffer some brain damage from the coma, short-term memory loss, you know what I mean? So like the first half of this, I forgot what I talked about. If you ask me what did I talk about, I really don't remember. But I remember stuff from way back. So it's stuff that I suffered from this coma, and you know I can only walk maybe 3 blocks, and then that's it. I get exhausted, man.
Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, so going up and down the steps is a task. And when I shower, it exhausts me. There's a lot of stuff that people don't know. And
ungrateful son of a bitch.
Yeah, he called me that. Yeah.
You bastard.
Yeah. That's crazy. I've done a lot for that kid. You know what I'm saying? So, fuck them. But what I'm saying is, how did I even get to that? What was I talking about?
Stabbed you in the back.
Yeah, you know.
That helps you out and threw it in your face.
Yeah. It's like, all right, you know, Dan, you know, did that for me, but that doesn't give him the right to talk to me like I'm a piece of shit. You know what I'm saying? Because every time he would talk to me like shit, I'd be like, okay, but he did give me a laptop and some money. And then he gets to the point where he's like, you know what, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that. So, you know, I'm just got to expose people for who they are, man. Listen, girl that we had in my corner, Shalisa, liked the girl. She's a nice girl and everything, but I practically had to beg her to come visit me in the hospital. She saw me once. All that time I was in the hospital. I've been out of the hospital. I haven't seen her. I don't get phone calls from her. Rarely. I don't get phone calls from her because I can't do nothing for these people. When you can't do nothing for somebody, you don't see them no more. But when you could do stuff for them, you see them all the time. They're on your face all the time. But they think I can't do anything. But I've gotten more power in this business from being in this coma. You know what I'm saying? But it just is what it is, man. You know, people are friends for a season and for a reason. You know, they people want stuff from you. And when they feel that they can't get it, you don't see them no more. When I got my Hall of Fame. Yeah, what's that?
Nothing. Keep going.
Say ECWA?
I didn't say anything.
No, that's a good one. Let me talk about ECWA.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's talk about them.
Okay, let's talk about them.
Yeah, because this is a shoot. You want to hear some shit, so let's get it. ECWA was great when Kettner had it, okay? It was great. Feel good, Ted. It was great. Joe Zeno, nice guy. I actually like Joe Zeno. He's one of the guys that I like in this business. I really do.
That's the funny thing.
I like Joe Zeno. So I'm not going to say anything bad about Joe Zeno. And Mike Fatale, I don't know him like that. I just know, you know, I don't know him like that. So I can't say anything bad about him. But I like Joe Zeno. But the thing is, it changed. The locker room atmosphere changed. Fans have changed. It's not, if you look on Facebook, it looks like it's bigger than what it is. It looks great. You know, it looks like this Fed is a real big Fed and everything. But when you go down there and wrestle, it's just Special Olympics people, you know. No offense. No offense being the credibility, but I'm just saying, you know, it's just Special Olympics people there. And I like Special Olympics people, but you're making it like you're catering to the Smart Mark fans and stuff like that, but when I go there, it's just mostly Special Olympics people, which I like, okay? I'm just saying that it's not what it was, you know what I mean? And last time I was there, I was wrestling in a match, and for some reason we didn't do the dumbbell drop, and it must have been either I didn't feel well. I had hurt my back. I wound up going into the hospital, I think, right after that.
It wasn't too far apart because that was the K cup. The reason I remember this so well is because I was actually sitting next to Joe Zanoli, and when you guys didn't hit the finish, he was so mad. He's like, "They fucked up the finish."
Okay.
Well, and he went storming off into the back. Oh, it was
okay.
So funny.
All right, I take it back. Fuck Joe Zeno. All right, so listen.
No,
fuck him. So we didn't do the dumbbell drop, and we did something else, and the referee for ECW, whatever the fuck his name is, said something. Why didn't you do it? And I said, something because I was hurt or something like that, and he had a little bitch attitude, like a little bitch, and he walked away like a little bitch, like a little girl, and it'd be silent treatment. So that's why it's like, okay, fuck it, fuck him. Every time, you know, we went into ECWA, the new ECWA, we lost, which I don't mind, but it was just, you know, a pattern. You know, we would go to put their guys over or whatever. But either way, I don't care about throwing jobs or anything like that. But fuck Joe Zeno and the ECWA ref or whatever. Fuck. Yeah, that's my ECWA story. Right Coast Pro, I went to one of their shows. It looks good. And that looks pretty good. That looks like the new premier fed in Delaware.
And while we're at it, I would also like to shout out real quick, a personal shout out to Indie Roundup. They're good guys, and they're our buddies now. So big shout out to Indie Roundup. Anybody who's listening will get that one, trust me.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if it's sarcasm, but
Not at all.
Okay, yeah, I love those guys. Yeah, I love those guys. They're good guys.
Yes.
They're good guys.
Let's get back to how Dan's a dick.
Hey, I have a question. Hold on. I have a question from one Robert Knight, who wants to know if anybody at the Monster Factory ever saw his videos, namely the Christmas special.
No, I have no idea what that is, but that sounds pretty funny to me. he showed us the mess with Billy Real like 100 times, you know. And I never heard of him. I never heard of him. He came in and he acted like he was just this fucking man, this wrestling expert. And I never heard of him. And I'm an indie nerd. I'm an indie mark, you know what I'm saying? But I've never heard of this dude. And the thing is, you know, the last show, he walks in, you know, at the team locker room meeting, and he says, you know, if you guys, you know, listen to the vets, there's vets in here that you can listen to. And he means all guys, man, you know, the guys I'm going to name, I'm not even going to knock, okay? I mean, I'm not even going to name the guys because they're going to take offense and think, you know, I'm shooting on them. He named all these guys, and he didn't name me. And as far as I remember, besides Bilvis Wesley, I was the second most successful guy that was there. And I felt disrespected that he didn't name me at all because I've done a lot in this business. And I'm looked at as, hey, you know, he just did it, you know, whatever. You know?
No, I get you. Is that what led to you coming that same night? Because you came to New Moon Rising Wrestling that same night. Is that what led to it?
Yeah.
Was it the build-up of the entire night? I mean, what happened that night to lead you to leaving the Monster Factory, coming up 295?
I had two choices. Beat the shit out of Dan, or go to Dan. Okay? Now, just because I had been in a coma, and, you know, my legs are a little weak, I can still fuck somebody up. Don't get it mistaken. And it was beat the shit out of Dan, or go to New Moon. Intermission, I left, went with Luis, and went to New Moon. You know what I'm saying? Dan, you know, he does his little bullshit like he's tough, and he thinks he's Triple H and Stone Cold, and he's talking all this shit, the tough white guy thing, and he's just fucking tough and spitting tobacco, and he wants to talk shit. But he could do that to the students, which I'm telling you, everybody in the mind, okay, I can't speak for everybody, I'd be wrong. But a lot of people hate him, but they just won't say it because, you know, he has power there. But people, they don't like him. You know what I mean? Because he just talks a lot of shit. Now, I have not one bad thing to say about any of those people at the Monster Factory. The students, I love the students. Billy Real, come on, my boy. You know what I'm saying? Larry, love Larry. Never say none bad word about him. And, you know, the Monster, the students are good, man. The students are good. Listen, the kid got a lot of heat. They gave the championship to this kid. You know, people say, oh, you shouldn't have gave it to a guy that's 180 pounds, or 120 pounds or whatever. That kid is a good amateur wrestler. He's an athlete, and he's a good shooter. Like, he would beat the crap out of a lot of these guys, you know, around. So he became a good professional wrestler. And he's a good kid. He's a good kid. But, Yeah, the Monster, you know, they got some good guys and stuff like that. But Billy Real's the one that's doing a lot of the training, and Billy Real, you know, is the one that's getting them to where they're going to get to.
Now, I hear there's a lot of things, all joking aside, there's been a lot of things the last year that have been said, a lot of shit flinging. But the one common denominator I always hear is Dan's name. And yeah. I think, you know, I think I see a pattern.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
and I'll go ahead, man.
No, I mean, if everybody keeps saying the same thing, like I told you, I was tired of, you get tired of defending somebody. After a while, it's like, hey, wait a minute, maybe this stuff is true. Like the whole stealing money thing, I don't know. I'd never seen him or even been caught, even think that he would, you know, do anything like that because I just don't see that in him or anything like that. And him being racist, he's not racist at all or anything like that, you know what I mean? But what's the word? Like, what did you hear on your end?
That he's a racist and a thief.
That's not true.
Listen, let me go on record again for the umpteenth time. I mean, you can only download these episodes at HIHCTalkRadio.com. Big surprise, you know, I'm not a wrestler. There's a shocker. But I call it like I see him. And I think, you know, the Monster Factory has a problem there in Crap for Face or Shit for Brains, whatever his name is.
Oh, God. Listen, the first match at Blast Monster Factory show was Major McClendon, who's a great fan, great athlete, and I'm the one that got him into the Monster. And he wrestled Tony Bennett, Anthony Bennett. And
the singer?
Black guys. Yeah, yes, of course. No, Anthony Dennis, two black guys. They wrestled each other, and the finish was supposed to be a 10-minute time limit draw. Dan rang the bell, and it had 7 minutes. They were having a good match. They didn't even, you know, get a chance to finish it. Now, if you are you saying that that was a racist move? If there were two white guys, he would let them go? Or what do you think?
I have seen and heard things in the contrary to certain N-words being thrown around. From a white person, yeah. Yes.
Oh, well, you know what? I heard white people talk different.
Hashtag shoot, motherfucker.
No, I heard white people talk different when black people are not around. So, yeah, it could be believable.
Well, see, not me, because I think the Lord's a black guy, and he's going to kill me if I try that shit, so I don't try that. I'm on the show, I speak my mind, and just for anybody listening, that was Dan, not Dean.
Yes, uh-huh. That was the comments spoken were, of course.
I calls him like I sees him, okay? That's what you hired me for.
I'll put it this way. This is a very small... It's very condensed here. This person might be friends with that person, and it might be hard to get booked opinions.
Straight up, what happened? Tell the story. You guys are dancing around. Dan, what happened?
Yeah, go to Dan. He's the one who went to talk about it, so...
Yeah, Dan's not scared. Dan's talking about it. Yeah, Dan, what happened?
I can't remember who told me this. Well, I think it was Robert. Was it Dean? Who was it? Robert that showed. Let me finish. God damn it! Who showed us the text message where the N-word was replaced because he uses it so very often?
Yes, there was a spell check error that was made, and the N-word was.
One of the autocorrect words was the N-word.
Oh, I heard that story. I heard it from Dan himself. Yeah, because it was trying to...
That's why I'm asking you, Darren. I'm asking you because I'm the interviewer. Darren. You're the answer, man.
Yeah, I heard that story. It was a spell check error because it was supposed to be about I can't remember, but I remember it.
It was Aaron, it was it was the big show, and it was autocorrected to the N-word. Come on!
Come on, Aaron!
What, the nigger show? What are you doing?
anyway.
We're never, ever going to get anybody on this show ever again.
But Dan, come on. Go.
No, that's the only...
Next question, I was saying.
Oh, okay. I was
told that NMRW stands for niggas, Mexicans, Ricans, and whites. That's what I heard, man. Because, you know, but that, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because they hire everybody. They hire niggas, they hire Mexicans, Ricans, and whites. You know? They hire everybody.
I'm one of the whitest of the whites. So.
Oh, my God.
So,
I have my phone's going off and I hear Dean's phone going off in the background. We're either dead or
if it's a big show or a nigga show, I don't give a fuck, man. I use niggas commonly all the time, man. You know, I use that word all the time, man. So if he says niggas, God bless him.
You know what? I think Dan McDonald is the Paula Deen of wrestling.
No. I am the Paula Deen of wrestling, okay? Because I use the word nigger frequently in the fluid. Yes. That's right. No, he's not racist, man. Nah, he's just like everybody else. Like, you guys don't say the word nigger. Get the fuck out of here. We all say it, man. You know, that's life, man. Paula Deen, that whole thing is bullshit. What? She said nigger back in the day. Who cares, man? Shit. I said it yesterday.
I agree with you 100%. That really doesn't matter. Here's my thing on the whole thing. That's why I asked you. I said, you know what? If he's going to shoot, I'm going to ask him this question. I want to know. And yes, it's because we decided to do a podcast about the wrestling business. And this is something that was brought up about the wrestling business. So, goddammit, it is my business.
What's that? Yes.
You know? And I'm going to, you know, since Dean's leaving me out to dry...
Uh-huh. I'm answering my texts. I'm sorry.
Are you really getting texted?
Yes.
May I ask you?
Let me interrupt. I've been getting Facebook messages all week from my friend Don Brower. He kept saying, plug the UPWA, UPWA. All right, theupwa.com. It's the best league in North Carolina. And next up, down there, they put me in the North Carolina UPWA Hall of Fame. Chucky and I were UPWA tag champions for a while. And, you know, they put me in the Hall of Fame. So it'll be a Hall of Fame number 2.
There you
go. That's right. So theupwa.com, Don Brower, good guys, the best league in North Carolina down there. And they got a show July 4th and July 6th, whatever. And then you got... Valor Wrestling, okay, ValorProWrestling.com, and I'll be at Valor Wrestling in July 13th at Red Line, and that's a good league. And, you know, basically I just wrestle, I mean, not wrestle, but I am with black promoters like Jake Bishop and Artemis Walls and Kareem. It's not racist, though. It just happened to be that way.
I hate white people, too.
Maybe that's the nigger show. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Maybe that's what he meant.
Now, what do you have left to accomplish? Because obviously you've done a lot. You've made plenty of connections in this business. I mean, what do you have left to do? Is there anything that you look and go, I want to do this or I want to do that?
Yeah. I want to manage tag teams, okay, because I feel that I'm a tag team expert. And I got a tag team called Poor White Trash that's coming out.
I am highly offended by that.
Poor White Trash, let me tell you something.
You just stole my gimmick. Thanks.
Poor White Trash, I'm telling you, man. That's going to be the new team, man, I'm telling you. Maybe a household name. I'll be managing the Young Gunners, a.k.a. the Empire. I'll be managing them. With the AIWF Tag Team Champions, Valor World Tag Team Champions, too. And I'm looking for, I'm doing a search. Can you guys help me?
Let's go.
I'm serious about this. I'm serious. I'm doing a search. I need 2 fat white guys. I want to manage the Nigerian White Mares.
You know what? There is a certain Slim Burgundy that I could, I think would fit that mold. You remember Slim.
Who is that? Because he friend requested me. Who is that?
He's the fatter one of Dean's friends.
The biggest one of my friends.
I'm the fat one, and Slim's the fatter one.
He's training, yeah. He's being trained by O-Dog right now. Probably right now.
He could be a Nigerian white mayor. I'm looking for two fat white guys to be Nigerian white mayors. They came up in
You're serious, aren't you?
I'm dead serious.
No, you got to powder him up. You got to put Fruity Pebbles on his face, and he's got to be a white mayor. I swear to God, he could do it. He can bump. I swear to God, he can bump. He's actually pretty good. And his cardio, his cardio is a lot better than guys half his size. That's
Yeah, I swear, I've seen him eat. His cardio is amazing.
Stop it.
Do you guys want to hear the real true story of the nightmares, how I really feel?
Yeah. All
right. Before I get into that, let me finish my fuck Chucky story. Fuck Chucky because him, his girl, and their kids stayed at my house. But when I needed a place to stay, recently I needed a place to stay. He had a house. He didn't even let me sleep on his couch.
Mm.
He didn't let me stay there.
Did he have a reason why? I mean, what was the bullshit story he told you?
I don't have no room. My baby mama living in a room. There's two bedrooms. I got a room. Baby mama got a room. My kid got a room.
I couldn't stay on this couch. My son's mom asked him, why can't you just stay on the couch? Fuck you.
Yeah, that would be a fuck you, yeah.
Yeah, fuck you for life, dog. You know, I broke bread with this nigga. You know what I'm saying? Did a lot of shit for this nigga. I could sit and tell you all day, but we only got a couple of hours. Fuck him.
Well, I did. Hold that thought for a second. I do have a caller. They indicated they wanted to speak.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Hey, these things happen. He was ready for it, so let's see. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
What's going on, people? Paul the Package calling out of New Jersey.
Oh, it's Paul the Package. What's up? Very quickly, because you're interrupting a thought here, Paul.
I'm sorry. Figured I'd let everybody know out there. Friday is going to be my debut on Riot Pro, so definitely come check it out.
That's right, and I'm going to plug that at the end of the show. Paul, thank you for coming on. Do you have a question for Aaron?
So how are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing all right, I was in this little thing called a coma and stuff like that, you know, and, you know, other than that, I'm all right. What's up? You got a question?
No, I don't think he does, Aaron. But, Paul, thank you for calling in.
So,
Paul,
leave him on. So, basically, he just wanted to promote his first match, right?
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Are you still there? Are you still there, Paul?
I can put him back on. You want to talk to him?
Oh, yeah, sure. Put him back on. Because, you know, he wanted to interrupt this interview to talk about his first one.
Well, I'm going to go now.
Okay, Paul, you're back on.
Paul.
All right. Yes.
Paul. You have your first match coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you working?
I'm not sure. I haven't really been told yet. All I've been told is I got a match there, so.
Who he's working. It's Z-Rock,
really?
The door-to-door luchador. He will be working.
Oh, shit.
Okay. I don't know who the fuck it is. Who
cool.
trains you?
Many places. I get chained many places.
What the hell? Well, come on, man. Who trains you, really?
I've been trained by a lot of people. I'll just put it in that term.
All right. Yeah, have a good one, Paul. Come on. Now, you interrupt me for this shit. Hang up. Come on. Listen, I got a good story, okay? All right. You know, what the fuck? You know what I mean? I've been trained everywhere and this and that. That match is going to blow. Anyhow.
I don't know. Actually, the guy who he's working is really good.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He can be really good and stuff, but, I mean, the guy doesn't even know he's working. Doesn't even know where he got trained. But anyway, that's the real story. I can't believe I got interrupted for that shit. So,
I'm sorry.
Anyhow.
I didn't know who it was.
We didn't know.
I thought if they had a good question or something. He just, well, it's my first match. Yeah, whatever, fuck you. All right, so here we go. Listen, this is what I really think of the old Nightmares thing, okay? And I'm going to tell this. The first time I'm telling this is an exclusive, okay?
I love it.
Can I get a drum roll? Can I get a drum roll?
Oh, you want one? Give me a second. No, I'll give him a drum roll.
I
just got
a drum roll?
Get it. I do? Okay.
I'm going to go get it.
That was really good. That was really good. I hated the whole Nightmares thing. I hated it. I hated the gimmick. I faked it. I really hated it. And this is what it is. Before I did the Nightmares, I couldn't get booked anywhere. Nobody was nice to me. Promoters laughed at me. Wrestlers laughed at me. Couldn't get booked nowhere. So I decided to make an ass out of ourselves, and I did the most racist, demeaning shit that I could do just to piss people off and shock people, and it worked. Dumb motherfuckers actually believed that I was Nigerian. They believed that Nigerian people would talk to me, and I was invited to Nigerian churches and parties and stuff. People would actually thought I really was a savage when I talked regular. They were shocked and stuff like that. Oh, he really can talk. Stupid motherfuckers. I hated the gimmick, and I just did things demeaning just to amuse myself. I really hated doing it. And you'll never, ever. People ask me, oh, you know, come back and this and that. I don't have to wrestle. I could just dress like an idiot and do it, and people would love it, but you'll never see me do it again.
Really?
You'll never see me do it.
Hey, Aaron. Yeah. Aaron, since we're shooting, are you worried? And since I said that I'm, you know, I go for both sides, I'm going to go for this one. And please don't hit me the next time you see it. See me.
You go for both sides. You play both sides of the fence. No offense.
No, I mean I go for the truth is what I meant.
I mean,
Cool.
I mean, I don't have no problem with that. I mean, that's
well, you know, only when it benefits me. Hey. No, my question is, are you afraid of sounding like a bitter retired wrestler, or do you give a fuck at this point?
Who gives a fuck? I don't care. I care if people big if I sound bitter or this. I don't care. Because I'm not bitter. I'm happy. I'm happy with everything that I accomplished. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, when you know what I'm bitter about? This is what I'm bitter about, if you want to call me a bitter retired wrestler.
No, I wasn't. I'm just asking if you're
I'm just not. I'm saying in general. When I got my Hall of Fame award, not one of the motherfuckers was there. You know who was there? Jimmy Dailon, who I got in the business, Prince Scooby, who I got in the business, and Stefan, the Golden Voice, Benson, who I got in the business. And they were there for me, and I could barely walk, and they helped me in the ring, and Rick Rich, they helped me in the ring and helped me out of the ring, and none of the motherfuckers that I helped was there. That's what I'm saying.
That's a good point.
My boy came from completely damaged and stuff. There's a lot of other people there, but what I'm saying is a lot of people that I helped wasn't there. They didn't give a fuck. They didn't even ask. Chucky didn't even ask me about the Hall of Fame. Hey, I was the Hall of Fame. Congratulations. Fuck you, Chucky. Don't tell me nothing. So what I'm saying is, you know, it just is what it is. But no, I'm not a bitter retired wrestler or anything like that. I'm still in the business. I mean, shit, I'm still involved in the business, but I'm just not in the ring. I don't want to get in the ring. I chose not to get in the ring. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it just is the way it is. But, like, back to the whole Nightmares thing, the same promoters that I couldn't pay to get in their locker rooms. I was able to go into their locker rooms and do what I wanted to do and wrestle for every league. And everybody laughed at my jokes. And, oh, Aaron, this is so funny and you're a good guy. I'm the same motherfucker that I was used to. At that time, and people were like me all of a sudden, and oh, Aaron, and this and that, and fuck you, man, because years ago, they couldn't book me, they wouldn't do anything, but I had to make, not to get racial, but shit, I had to make an ass out of myself and my race just to get booked, and I think that's a shame, because a white guy in the business can't get booked, black guy, oh, we had to do all this crazy, stupid shit, you know, and, you know, some shows were all the black with the red lips and stuff, and I knew what I was doing. I did it on purpose just to, hey, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? So it's a shame that it had to be like that. And the thing is, this is what I apologize for, and I do regret, okay? Being that I'm out of the hospital and stuff, I vowed to lose weight, and I lost 135 pounds so far.
Nice.
And thank you. But what I'm saying is I was wrong for promoting. I promoted being fat, and I would joke around and say, yeah, fat is good and this and that, but it's not good. It's not healthy. And I was doing this in front of kids. you know what I'm saying? And childhood obesity leads to adult obesity, and then next thing you know, you're in a hospital like myself and sick, and I almost died. And I don't want to ever promote that ever again. I want to promote health and healthy lifestyles and stuff like that, because it just it wasn't good, and I don't want anybody else to see or be go through what I went through. And in the last hour that it'll only be on the archives exclusive, I'm going to tell what I saw when I was in the coma. I'm not going to do it on the live program, but I'll do it in the archive program.
Oh.
So I'll get deep, deep into the thing. So you guys listen to the archives so you can hear the whole coma thing. But what I'm saying is this is something that I don't wish on my worst enemy, and God gave me a second chance. And I'm not going to promote obesity and make people think that it's okay, because it's not okay.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's not okay. So.
God damn it.
Well.
Yeah.
Damn it. I do.
Well, throw out all the cheese.
Who said that, Dan?
Yeah.
That was funny. That was good. That was good.
I do have another caller.
Yeah,
I actually have two that are waiting.
I have another question.
I hope it's better than Paul, man. I hope it's better than Paul.
Hey, yeah, I know. 267-693, state your name and where you're calling from.
What's up, High Flyer? Welcome home, brother. Who's that?
Yeah, who's that?
Who else call you High Flyer?
Is it Stackhouse?
No, that's
Jake Bishop.
It's
yeah.
Bishop.
I ain't called a show in that long. Y'all recognize my voice?
I know what you sound like.
You've been on the show for a while. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, bro? How you doing, man? You guys are going to listen to two black people talk, so we're going to have a black conversation for a minute, okay?
it might be some Spanglish coming along, because
yeah,
I got some Spanish in me, but... Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But no, seriously, I just wanted to clear up a couple of things. First of all, welcome home.
Thank you.
I just want to say that from the bottom of my heart. Actually, you never left home. You was always here.
Thank you.
Yeah, you just was, you know, explorer.
Before you get into it, I'm going to put you over real quick. When I was in the hospital, Jake Bishop wrote a nice piece on Facebook about me. He called me. I do remember that. Even my memory was shot. I was out of my mind. I do remember talking to him. And a representative from the Proving Grounds, New Moon, did come and see me. One of the guys did come see me. And his name is, because my memory's a little fucked up. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. I'm about to put him over. Who came and saw me? Who came and saw me from New Moon? Glenn. Yeah,
Glenn Storms.
Glenn Storms came and saw me from New Moon, and he cried with me. He cleaned my room, gave me a haircut, and it was one of the most enjoyable visits that I had. And he represented New Moon. He told me everybody said hello and all that good stuff, and that was great. Now, the representative of the Monster Factory, nobody showed. Nobody showed. Not one person from the Monster. But yeah, that's just
And not to take Glenn's his thunder there, but I'm gonna clear up the reason why I didn't come to the hospital myself.
Mm-hmm.
There's two things I'm afraid of in this world. Number one is my mother, and number two, my own mortality. If I would have came there, I would have just gave up everything. Just seeing you in a vulnerable state, and like you said, we've known each other since we first came into business. You came in a couple months before me, and ever since I was, the young kid on the block, you were showing me things. And to see you in a vulnerable state, I would have broke down, and it probably would be no New Moon today.
Hey, man, we used to call you Ahmed Johnson when you was at wrestling school. You know what I mean? Listen, we definitely would have broke down, because I was crying every day, and we definitely would have broke down. And like I said, you're my man, you're my boy, and I never once – I tell you the truth, my partner Chucky didn't like you. and he kisses your ass in front of you, but behind your back he hates you.
I never liked Chucky for the start.
Yeah,
him
liked
showing up late, notoriously.
Hey, nobody yeah. likes him. That's why I can't get booked anywhere. But this is not about him. This is about yourself. And thank you, man. You're my man, because you're always my boy.
I'm like a fly. I got like 2 seconds of memory in my my bank. And if something is booked and the person's not there to hear it being done, then that person don't mean nothing to me.
Right.
Chuck has done that a couple of times.
Yes.
You know, but for the sake of the team and for the sake of you, I put up with it. You know,
and
ask the guys that I cut off the shows. Ask the guys that I told never come back to New Moon for that same reason.
Yeah,
you
you're
know,
not the only guy.
And,
you're definitely not the only guy.
But I mean, you know, like you said, he kissed my ass in front of me, but behind my back he talked about me. What's in front of me is the only thing I worry about. You know, I'd rather somebody come to me and be like, look, I'm going to shit all over you, blah, 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 and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, you a man. But if you got to do it behind my back, you're not a man.
Correct.
You know? That's why on anything that's said behind my back, I don't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
well, thank God for that.
I think I'm going to have to visit the commentary table.
July
20th. No, not at all.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's the show that I will be at, extra show, the New Moon Rising show, and I would like to ask you right on the air, can I do a promo in the middle of your show?
Done.
And speak how I feel about certain individuals in the ring, because a lot, you know, some people may not listen to this. I want to do it live so they can see it on video.
Not many people in this business I actually call brother.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the word, you know, throughout the whole 16, 17 years I've been wrestling now, people have been, hey, brother, and it, to me, it's almost like you said before, it's like them calling me nigga,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's basically that. Somebody come to me and call me by my first name, that means they know me. Somebody call me by my worker name, that means they respect me.
Mm-hmm.
I use that word very sparingly, and I'm going to call you my brother.
That's right.
You really have to ask, can you cut a promo?
Hey, you know what? We could be brothers because my birth name is Aaron Williams, and your name is Nate Williams, and, you know, we actually could be the Williams brothers. So,
nah.
I mean, we could be brothers. My dad was out there, boy. You know what I mean? But yeah, no
See,
doubt,
look at
man.
That.
No doubt, man. You my man, and always was. And that's the problem. See, it's actually same day. It was Dan. Dan had a problem with me being friends with you, and you know, I didn't understand it. You know, it was like real childlike and real kitty and stuff like that. But that's just the way that it goes, and it is what it is, man.
Yeah, you know, the same way I'm putting it all out of my mind and moving on and building what we got, then, oh, well. If they fall and crumble and Larry want to sell me the business again, then I'll just go ahead and offer him that $10 again. And this time I'll give it to him and throw it in the trash.
Ooh. Did the credibility tell you what New Moon NMRW stands for?
It stands for Nate Mr. Williams. I mean, come on now, that's logic.
Well,
that would have really stands for.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I thought it was niggas, Mexicans, Ricans, and whites. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I wasn't thinking that far out the box. I was being selfish myself.
I'm just saying, you know, that makes sense. I get it.
Yeah. Nah, oh. New Moon Rising. One day I'll go into the whole story of New Moon Rising, but basically it came from the same song, New Moon Rising.
And that's what's up. New Moon Rising is the premier fed in New Jersey, and it's going to take over. It's going to take over the world. And they can kiss my, everybody can kiss our new moon ass. We're going to pull our pants down and kiss our ass. That's the new moon.
They talk smack, we show them our new moon.
Exactly.
Hey, I just thought about a new T-shirt. How about that?
There you go.
Put a big black ass on there. Just
We already got the wolf cock. I don't think we need ass. I'm just saying. Jake, I'm gonna break this up because I do have another caller on the line.
All right, whoever the other caller is, you're not more important to me, but go ahead, Dane. Go ahead, take care. All right, Aaron, I'll talk to you.
I'll holler at you. All right, peace.
All right, peace.
Okay, so that was Jake Bishop, of course, the owner of New Moon Rising Wrestling, and now another caller. Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Prince Scooby.
Oh, man. Prince Scooby, that's my bodyguard. That's right. Anybody fucks with me, they got to get a check by Prince Scooby. Prince Scooby's dangerous.
What's going on, bro?
Chilling, man. I'm doing good, man. And Prince Scooby is somebody that I found helped find, you know, somebody else, you know, or whatever.
One of my friends. Paul, I know who my trainer is.
That's right. He's loyal. He's very loyal. And anytime I, you know, divorce, baby mom, people shit on me, Scooby was there to help me out and had my back. And, you know, Scooby's the man. So, like I said, he's my bodyguard. He'll be at the KCW show with me. He'll be at the New Moon show with me. You know what I'm saying? I don't go nowhere without Scooby because ain't nobody touching the juice.
That's right. They got to get to me first.
Right.
But no, bro, I was one of the ones who didn't make it to the hospital. And, you know, I have major respect for you and major love for you. And me personally, I can't handle seeing someone I love and admire and have seen up on a go and put in hard work just laying there, just not able to do anything. Like, if anything, that would break me down to the core, bro. And just know, like, you were in my prayers, like, every day. Like, when I got the call that you were up and you were walking and you were talking, man, that was one of the happiest moments ever. Like, I was glad my big man was back, definitely.
Yeah, man, thanks. That's what's up. When, you know, I made it out of the coma, first thing I said was, how did I make it? The doctor said, Prince Scooby was playing for you. So I was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, you got some phone calls, though, definitely.
I talked to you many times. I was out of my mind, you know, on a lot of drugs and stuff. I do remember talking to you, you know what I'm saying? So Prince Scooby is the toughest guy in professional wrestling. Don't fuck with him. You fuck with me, you're going to fuck with him and vice versa. He's a tough guy. And I'm not going to go into detail, but Prince Scooby, and this is all seriousness, because of his, can I say this, your sexuality? He wasn't allowed to go to
it company. Doesn't matter.
All right, Prince Scooby's gay. Everybody knows that, all right? Whatever. He wasn't allowed to go to the Monster Factory. I was
there.
Told, I'm not going to say who, but I was told specific orders. That man can't come to the Monster Factory.
He couldn't train or he couldn't go to a show? What was it?
He couldn't be there, period.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this recently or is this years ago?
This is the Monster Factory when it came, when the split happened and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
They said, I don't want him there. Because Scooby's open gay, and he was told, they told me that he can't come.
And
you know
how you have an open gay ring announcer.
It wasn't open then, at the time.
What?
So, you know, he wasn't open at the time. Now, it hurt me so much to have to tell him that you can't come there because you're gay. I should have quit then. So I'm sorry, Scoob, I should have quit then. But you're welcome at New Moon.
No.
Hell, it's
fine. It's fine, man. Listen, I've been through a lot, you know, being who I am and really not caring what people think about me. And that's one thing at the end of the day, no one is going to stop my hard work and determination, especially when it comes to my family and my blood, man.
Right.
I think that's probably the most polarizing thing I've heard all night is the fact that they would do that.
But here's what, after you gather up all this information from the last year of all the bullshit back, and quite frankly, on our end and their end, it's bullshit. okay? You try to run a business. It's a business. And if you just stop talking shit and worry about your fucking self, half of this shit wouldn't happen and half of us wouldn't have high blood pressure.
Right. Correct, man. Correct. You know? But, you know, that's just, it just is what it is. Just the way I look at things, man, it is what it is, you know? Can't change people. People are who they are. Because you can accept them or you don't. You know what I'm saying? And, listen, I accept anybody unless they fuck me over. You know what I'm saying? So that's just what it is. All the racist shit, you don't like somebody because they're gay or because they're black or because they're white. I think it's stupid. So I joke around with the racist stuff because I think it's funny for people to just say racist things and do racist things. And they're serious about it. But if you're joking about it, whatever, you know what I mean? But that right there is just not cool to alienate somebody just because of their sexuality or because of their color or because of anything. You know what I'm saying? That's not cool.
I know Jake is listening, and I know I had put in a bid to work for New Moon before, and even more than ever now, being as though, you know, my girl is there, Sienna Duvall, my trainer is there, because if anybody looks back at DWF Loco and some of the videos that's on YouTube, me and Sienna had one of the greatest feuds ever to grace DWF. Hopefully I will get the chance to work for New Moon, and, you know, it'll definitely be a slap in the face to the monster, because you lost out on a great thing, definitely.
You're good with me, you're good with Jake, you're cool, man. You're cool. Plus, when I do this promo, I need my bodyguard there, so you'll be right there with me.
Oh, yeah, I'll be here.
Just make sure you wear your Daisy Dukes, man, that's all, you know.
Hey, yo, bro, but most definitely, one question I wanted to ask you. Besides working the art museum sets with us that day in the freezing cold, what is one of your greatest moments that you had in this business, and why is that?
Wow, that's a good one, man, because I've done a lot. I had a good time doing the UWF pay-per-views. Remember we all went up there, Scoop?
Yeah, yeah. I definitely remember that.
That was a good time, man. You know, all we did was get drunk and eat New York pizza.
We played like rock stars.
Yeah, stay in a hotel, we rode limousines, and we did a little restaurant, you know what I mean? So, and we got paid. I had a good time up there. The Insane Clown Posse tours that I did, I definitely had a good time doing that. I don't know what I would say was the best thing. Wrestling at ECW, I think that was good. Stuff like that, I would say that somebody I got into the business had an interview for WWE, and I'm the one that got him in business, and that made me feel good. And also, I found a midget. They call him
Mini Nemo,
Shovelhead Chuck. I found him, and I got him hooked up with Hulk Hogan's Micro Championship Wrestling.
You found him?
Yeah, Shovelhead Chuck. Yeah, I found him. I found him at a wrestling show. He was a fan, and I found him. I discovered him and hooked him up with a wrestling school for free, and I called Micro Championship Wrestling, talked to Johnny G, told him, you got to see this guy. He looks like Brian Knobbs. You got to see him, and they gave him a tryout in Florida, and he got in. And that's because of myself. So that made me feel good. I'm a helper. I like helping people. And he never shitted on me. So, you know, maybe the same success would happen for school, you know. I just like, you know, helping people and stuff. So they're my success stories.
Yeah, I'll be the next Orlando Jordan in the business.
All right, Prince.
All right,
I'm going to
have a good night.
I just want to say before you go. I just want to say before you go, I wanted to congratulate on the death of DOMA.
Hell yeah, definitely. Good looking. Y'all probably have a good night.
You too. Now, good thanks night. For calling in.
All right,
for calling in.
All right.
All right,
that was big today. Yeah.
We do have another caller.
Yeah.
610 area code. I'm putting you on. Just state your name and where you're calling from. 610.
I just got tired of listening. This one, this man must be part woman.
That's the madman.
This man must be part woman because only women, only people I know that talk this damn much is women. What's going on?
Man, Big Tree. What's up, bro? How you doing?
Nothing much. Get ready to go out and fly the streets.
That's right. Talk about fly the streets for what now? Talk about it.
This upcoming new promotion, Keystone Championship Wrestling, LLC.
That's right.
Debut show Saturday, 3:30 bell time. Kind of nervous, but it is what it is. That comes with anything, starting your new baby and hoping it will be a successful one. So I'm going to do my best to try to get this thing off the ground.
Well, tell us some of the matches that are happening that night. Or day.
You got main event, former TNA superstar Homicide versus Biggie Biggs. You got actually a New Moon Rising star, Nathan Avery, versus Rob Prefontaine. You got a tag match, which is myself and my partner, Mr. Arrogance, Bad Karma versus AC Rock. Steve Austin versus the hotshot James Collar. And you got Good News Tim Hughes versus former ECW star Thomas Rodman. So, it should be a good night.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds like a stacked lineup. And definitely see, I think you're going to do pretty good because it's in an area that nobody's at, uncharted. And you seem to be a good promoter, you know what I'm saying, from what I understand. You're about your business. And this one thing about Kareem, he's about his business, and this isn't no junk promotion, just some guy just having a show and this and that. This is the real deal. Trust me, I know more and behind the scenes and stuff like that about it. And Kareem got the real deal. Kareem Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, it is it is a legal business. I'm registered in the state of Pennsylvania, so I'm going to run it like a business. There will be no more shit wrestling in the area.
That's right. So just everybody go out there Saturday afternoon. It will be good. Homicide comes back to Philadelphia, which is always good to see him. And it's a rarity, too, him coming back to Philadelphia. He hasn't been down there in a while, right?
Yeah. Also, Biggie Biggs. Biggie Biggs hasn't been in the area in over 12 years.
Yeah, I've never seen him in Philadelphia. You know what I mean? So that's always a treat. So,
It's been 12 years for Biggie, and he's actually quite excited about it.
Okay. And you guys are going to decimate AC Rock. Not like AC Rock. It's going to be a good
game, two young punks that run around and do nothing more but party all day and party all night. And we're going to use their ass as the dance floor.
There you go.
I like to publicly. I already thanked you a million times. I'm publicly thank you for being there for me when I was in the hospital, Kareem. You was a real seriously, man. Yeah, don't try to get all like you're tough guy now, man. No,
I would have did anything and everything for you except two things.
What's that?
Was wipe your ass and clip your toenails. Things I would not have done.
Hey, did you empty my bedpan at least, man, or what? this man was there for me, man, you know what I'm saying? And I got friends that I've known for years, and they wasn't there for me. So this guy's a loyal dude, he's a good dude. I'll do anything for him, except, some gay shit and stuff like that. But other than that, come out to KCW and best promotion in Philadelphia area. So hopefully
we're going to try and run this place.
That's right. So everybody show up and come down and this and that. All right, man, I'm tired of showing your promotion. All right, I'll see you, bro. Take care.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Kareem.
See you guys.
All right, man. Bad karma.
And yet another caller, Aaron.
Yeah.
I think I know who this is. So, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Yo, Aaron, it's the Roughneck.
There you go.
Yo, Aaron, it's the Roughneck.
The Roughneck. Come on, the Roughneck, cool.
The American Roughneck. Come on, you were my first match ever, bro.
It's not buckets, is it?
It is buckets.
The man that invented the bucket driver. What would we call it? The bucket drop.
The bucket buster.
Bucket buster. There you go. See, I don't remember how to move. That's right. Bucket buster. How you doing, man?
Good, man. I'm not going to say welcome back to New Moon Rising Wrestling. I'm just saying I can't wait to see you walk through the door.
That's what's up, man. I came there, you know, I was expecting to see you. I didn't see you there on
I had to leave early that night. I'm sorry I missed you when I heard. I was bummed out. Because you guys were my first match. I'm still a mark, you know. So, and I'm glad to see you walking through the doors of New Moon again.
Hey man, it's good to be there. And I tell you what, Buckets is a good dude, man. And one time, I had to wrestle at DWF, and my son was there. I had nobody to watch him. Buckets took care of my son like he was his own son. You know what I mean? He bought him stuff, bought him merchandise, bought him food and stuff like that, and took care of him, man. And my son trusted him, I trusted him, and everything was cool, man. You know, Buckets is a good dude. I wouldn't leave my son with Chucky. Never. Seriously.
Wow.
Yeah, and I know him since I was 12.
I appreciate that, but I can't wait to see you come out. I'm going to let you get back to do what you got to do. I'm just glad to see you here at New Moon.
Yeah, man. Yeah, thanks, man. It's good to be back, and I need a 2013 get out of jail free card like you gave me 2012, bro. So hook me up.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get one of those. I know a guy that gets them, so I'll see what I can do.
That'll work, bro. But I miss you, love you, and I'll definitely see you at the next show, man.
All right, brother.
All right, bro. Peace out, man.
Later.
All right. So that was the American Roughneck, and referee Jimmy Dillon. One of your guys has passed along.
Jimmy,
he's just come on. I don't do the dial-on thing. but he passes along his respects as well. He didn't beat the 2-hour cutoff. You see?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Only a select few are still on the line and can hear this.
Oh, okay. Okay.
See, if you call in before the 2-hour where it cuts off, if you call in before then, you're still on the line and you can hear it. But otherwise, you can't hear it.
Just
letting you know. So there's three people listening right now. Anyway, let's move on to your health scare, is how I'll say it. What exactly happened? I've heard things through the grapevine. I've asked you about it. But what exactly happened? How did you wind up in the hospital to begin with? What happened?
I was having, like, pain in my leg, man, in my left thigh. And it was just hurting so bad, man. I could barely walk. It hurt really, really, really bad. And I didn't know what to do, you know. I didn't have any insurance or anything like that. I'm not a hospital guy. I thought it would just go away, you know. I thought it was just, you know, my thighs rubbing together, some fat boy stuff, you know, thighs rubbing together, shit happens. Well, I was in pain, but I still was able to go on Facebook, of course. You know, hey, I went on Facebook, and a worker wrote that he had MRSA, and he was retiring from the business. And he didn't want to spread it to anybody and all this shit. So I looked at my leg and I said, damn, I might have MRSA. I'm going to go to the hospital. So I called Chucky. Chucky, this was on a Saturday. So Chucky was like, you know, if you need to go to the hospital tomorrow, I'll pick you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, cool. I called him the next day. The pain was unbearable. He said he'll come down and come get me in like 2 hours. So I was like, all right. So he comes down. make my way down the steps in my apartment, and I'm in pain. I get in Chucky's truck. Chucky takes me to the hospital, which I didn't hear the end of it. He actually fucking, you know, did the greatest thing in the fucking world. You know what I'm saying? I didn't hear the end of that shit. That's what I tell you. People do something nice for you to kind of bring that shit up all the time in your face.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Took me to the hospital, and they said my leg was infected. And they said, do you know you have diabetes? And I said, no, I didn't know that. So I had, they said they were going to keep me. So I stayed in the hospital for days. And they said that, you know, Mr. Gainey, we're going to have to do emergency surgery on you and stuff at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. So this is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they said, they came back. It was just me and my mother sitting in the room. I'm like, okay, it's cool. I'm at surgery. Then they came back and said, we got to do the surgery now. We got to do it now because the infection is spreading. So I'm like, damn, okay. So we go down to the room. They made me sign some paper in case I die. That's not a problem. But the problem was the doctor said to me and my mother that she may wake up with one leg, no legs, no dick, no balls, anything. You know what I mean? If it's spread there, they got to cut that shit off.
All right.
Yeah, imagine that. They're telling you that you might not have no dick and balls. There's some blade, no dick and balls.
So like, while you're at it, can you give me a sex change? Thank you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? What the fuck? So I looked at my mom. I said, oh, my God. And I said to myself, I live a good life. I'm out. I'm ready to go. Peace. You know what I'm saying? I ain't waking up from this shit. I'm dying. Fuck that. No dick and balls. So, had to count backwards. My mom said to me, my mom said a prayer to me, and they put the thing in my, you know, in my throat, and I counted backwards, and next thing you know, I'm knocked out. And I didn't wake up for 2.5 weeks. Now, this is the end of October. It was right before Halloween. So, you know, I was in a coma. Now, listen, I'm going to fast forward. I got my dick and balls. I got my legs, okay? So nobody got to worry about that. Dick and balls, yeah. Straight up dick and balls and legs are there. So let's just, right now, let's rewind. So I was in a coma, and when you're in a coma, you're not really asleep, man. You know, you still see things, you know. And I was out of it, and I just remember seeing the devil. I saw heaven and I saw hell, man. I saw the devil. The devil was standing on some podium type deal with two ladies. And the devil had like long black hair, glasses, and he looked like Indian or Hispanic or something. And I just remember him saying horrible shit, and he was just laughing, like a laugh track was behind the horrible shit they were saying. And I just didn't understand that. And then I remember in heaven, it looked like dry ice, like a bunch of dry ice. Now, I didn't see God or Jesus, okay? Didn't see him. But I did see the angels, and I saw this dry ice. And I just remember kept hearing the words, in 3 days I'll be in heaven, in 3 days, 3 days, 72 hours, 3 days. And then, God, let me see, okay, 3 days, 3 days. And then I heard, you're not ready yet. And then I saw my uncle, who I haven't seen in years, reading the Bible to me, but he was saying horrible shit. So I saw, I was up in the, I seen myself, okay, and my uncle, like I was in the sky, and I looked down and I could see my uncle sitting there with me, and who I haven't seen in years, so how did I know he was there? My eyes were shut, the coma, you know. And I saw my aunt, Adrian, who I haven't seen in years. And she was there. And they just happened to be there. And they, you know, so I saw all of this, you know what I'm saying? And I just remember just seeing a whole bunch of crazy colors and crazy stuff. And so this is what I saw when I woke up. Okay. Now, if this is a story, the real deal story was every time they tried to turn the machine off, their life support machine, I would stop breathing. had an appointment on this Thursday. It was a Thursday. I had an appointment to go to hospice. I was going to basically go to hospice to die.
Yeah.
I was going to go to hospice. Yeah, I was going to go to hospice, and they were going to put a hole in my throat and put a feeding tube in my stomach. And I was
really?
Basically going to, yeah.
This is how bad things were for you. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
If they're talking hospice, they're. I mean,
that's it. There's no turn back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, I was 534 pounds, and I didn't know it. I was 534 pounds. You're 534 pounds. You're in a coma, and you ain't waking up. You're dying, bro. I would bet the farm that that guy's going to die, okay? Seriously, you're dead. You're not getting up. There's no way. Okay. And they said, let's try one. Every time they kept trying to turn the machine off, they wouldn't. Wouldn't happen. I'd stop breathing. So they said, let's try one last time. And that last time they tried, I woke up. That
oh,
day
wow.
I had the hospice. I woke up, man. Now, that's the story. But this is what I saw. See, I had a lot of drugs in me, and I was in a coma. Now, what I saw was, I'm in this coma. I saw me standing in the middle of the floor with this other guy. And this Indian-looking doctor comes up to us and says, I'm going to try one last thing to get you to get the poison out of your system. I want you to, I'm going to use a Dunkin' Donuts bag. I remember saying, what's a Dunkin' Donuts bag? So he gets one of these thank you for shopping bags, little plastic bags you just get at a store or at Walmart or whatever, but it was tan, or a thank you for shopping bag. So... guy and me and the guy next to me, we swallowed the bag. And the thing was, you swallow the bag, and the poison goes into the bag, and then you throw it up back out. That's how the poison gets out. And this is what I saw in a coma. So I swallowed the bag, and I had to throw it up out. So I'm pushing to throw it up. I'm pushing, and if the bag's hanging out of my mouth, I go to grab it, and they grab my arms and say, stop, don't grab it. So I'm still pushing to throw it up, and some little girl comes up and pulls the bag in my mouth. And then I throw up all this little bits on the floor, and everybody starts clapping, saying, yay, yay. And I made it. And I just remembered saying to the doctor, I said, Doc, Dunkin' Donuts bag, well, you know, what kind of shit is that? I remember yelling at him, what kind of shit is that? This isn't procedure. What kind of shit is that? You know, they don't do this in America. This is from India. I said, you saved my life, but what the fuck? So I threw up the bag, and then I remember looking over in the corner of my eye, and I seen a man hand a woman, a little girl, a voucher. They exchanged it, and I started yelling at them, saying, you know, in the state of Pennsylvania, you know, somebody lives or dies, you get $100, that's my fucking money, give me my money. And they're like, what are you talking about, what money? I'm like, give me my fucking money. And then I think to myself, they might try to kill me. So I say, forget the money, don't worry about it. See, I was hallucinating. I'm just telling you what I saw. This is what I really saw. And that was it. And then I think I got restrained, man. I just remember they wouldn't let me drink water, and it was pissing me off. You know, they wouldn't let me eat ice or drink water. I was in a coma for 2.5 weeks, and this is something that I did for free all my life. You tell me I can't drink water, I'm like, fuck that. Yeah, seriously. So I tried to break open my IV machine and IV and drink that, and
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, man. You were going after the IV.
Somebody
tell you that you can't drink water and you've been in a coma for 2.5 weeks, and they say that you ain't allowed to drink something that you've been getting for free all your life. Man, shit. Let me tell you.
You're touching upon something that always gets me a little bit choked up. When my stepfather passed away the night before. Excuse me, I got him to the hospital. Short version, he was a heroin addict. Moving on, he was going into renal failure. He was dying slowly. And we got him to the hospital, and he was there for a couple hours, and all he wanted was a drink of water, and they would not give him any water. And yeah. that always bothers me to this day that I didn't just go grab him a cup of water and say, fuck you, and go give him the cup of water because it was going to be the last drink he ever had. You know, it's funny that you say that. I still don't know why they don't let you have water.
Well, because you're just not, your throat is just not ready. You could die, you know what I mean? It could kill you. But I didn't give a fuck. I wanted some fucking water. And I just remember this Asian nurse, I remember swinging on her, and she put me in some UFC move, got there, and took me down, and then he jumped on me and restrained me. And they tied my arms up in my mouth, and I was just, for the rest of the night, I'm sitting there restrained, man, and it sucked. And then the next morning, my buddy Wayne, I didn't know the time. I didn't know if it was the next morning or what, but my buddy Wayne came in, and my vision was screwed, and I seen, like, five Waynes. And in my mind, I was like, I'm going to fuck him up because I saw him laughing with the people that restrained me. This is what I saw. I thought I seen him laughing with them. So I was ready to fuck him up, and I was like, Wayne, give me something to drink. Give me a diet soda or something. He wouldn't give it to me. And, you know, I was pissed off about that. And then some lady comes in to check my throat to see if I'm able to drink. So she gets this long wire, sticks it down my nose, and it connected down my throat. I didn't even know that shit connects, man. You know, down my throat. And I had to think of something else just so I could fucking not, you know, think that, hey, there's a wire down my nose going down my throat. And she pulled it out and says, oh, he's not ready yet. I'll be back in 24 hours. Nigga. Oh, I had a fucking fit. They wouldn't even give me ice chips, yo. I was pissed off, man. So my little brother came, and God bless him, because I was like, Tari, give me some ice chips. And he was like, the doctor said no. I said, fuck you, man. What are you, a little bitch? And I challenged his manhood, and he went and got me ice, fed me ice. So I got to give him credit because he broke the rules for me. And I felt good, man. That was the greatest ice in the world, man. So other than that, man, you know, I just had to learn how to walk and talk again and stuff like that. And went to physical therapy and stuff. And, you know, I couldn't even wipe my own ass, man. Nurses had to wash my ass, wipe my anything. It sounds cute and it sounds great that a nurse is washing your ass and wiping your ass and giving you a bath. It is the worst experience in your fucking life because, number one, I don't know what the fuck happened. They had a catheter on my dick, and I had some fucking shrinkage or some shit. I don't know what the fuck happened. I thought they cut some of that shit off or something. I mean, what the fuck? They're like, what the fuck? So, listen, and then you got the students there taking notes. So you got, like, six motherfuckers in there, and your dick is out. Your dick is out, and then you're scared. You don't want to get hard because you don't want to, you know, hey, hard dick, and then you don't want to be too soft because you don't want people to think that shit, you know. So you're like, damn, hard, soft. What the fuck? What do I do?
It's a shame that you can't, like, have a button that just says half-mast, you know?
No, it's a shame. I just can't explain. Like, hey, listen, ladies, listen. It's not usually like this, okay, you know, I mean, I just wanted to explain, and then I was like, fuck it, you know what I mean, so it just sucked, but at the end of the day, I've gotten better, and I just take it as God wasn't ready for me yet. I have more to accomplish in this world, and I'm going
Aaron,
to do it. Yes, sir.
Aaron, how was that first cup of water?
Let me tell you something, bro. That shit was great, okay? I loved that fucking water, dog. I'll never forget it, man. I was drinking water. I was addicted to it, man. Water was great.
A friend just told me that the catheter makes your dick try to run and hide. It's not your fault.
It makes your what?
It makes your dick try to run and hide. It's not your fault.
It makes your dick what?
It's shrinkage, the shrinkage thing.
Oh,
it's the
okay, yeah,
fault.
All right.
Yeah, it's not your
so
fault.
Was it my fault?
Like no, not
all
your
right,
fault, Kathy.
Good. All right, yeah. Tell your friend he made my day. Yeah, because I was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? But it grew back and everything, you know what I mean?
Goddamn,
I was in a coma. I thought they cut some off, man. Like, hey. But, yes, thanks. Tell your friend thank you. And I couldn't piss straight for a long time, man, because of that damn catheter. But the weirdest feeling is when they take it out. When they take the catheter out, it's like, hey,
woohoo!
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then you can't, like, you can't jerk off with a catheter on because the catheter, you know. Seriously, you know, listen, man, 2.5 weeks in a coma, you're in the hospital all that time with a catheter on. You're used to jerking off at least once a day. I don't know if you guys jerk off once a day, you know what I mean, but I do a little, you know, like once a day thing. And I couldn't do the once a day because I had a catheter on, and then, you know, you don't want to get caught jerking off the hospital, and, you know, it is what it is, you know? It's not like I was going to get pussy while I was in the hospital, you know?
Yeah, true.
And porn,
yeah.
You,
I know all about the pussy.
Yeah, damn. You know? The pussy. Yeah.
What do you think the biggest learning experience was going through all that? I mean, what did you...
A catheter in your penis.
Dan.
I'm sorry.
But, I mean, what did you take away from this experience is my question.
Don't be a fucking glutton. Don't be a fat fuck. That's it. Don't eat seconds. Eat your 3-4 meals a day, moderately, and don't be a fucking glutton. That's it. Stop eating at night, you wake up in the middle of the night, you go get something to eat, and then eat in between meals, and it takes you to eat and all this snack. Stop that. Just eat regular 3-4 meals a day, don't be a fucking glutton. That's what I got out of it.
Now, are you're still working out with people, right? Who's your working out buddies?
Damn, this girl's calling me right now, and she never late. I wonder what's up with that. Maybe she wants to, you know...
Well, if you got to go, hey, if you got to go, you got to go. You know, I can understand that.
No. This is a hell of a sale. So, and then this is the exclusive extra hour bonus edition. So, yeah, I'm just going to...
This is going on the Blu-ray.
Okay, the Blu-ray. All right, so, again, what was your question now? What's up?
No, I mean, who's your workout buddies now? I mean, you're still trying to live this... healthy lifestyle. Who do you go out with? Who helps you stay the course?
I work out with. I go to the fitness Planet Fitness with my tag team, Poor White Trash.
Is that Poor White Trash? I'm not giving anything away. I'm not going to say who it is, but is that Poor White Trash?
Yes.
Wow.
They
I can see
White
that.
Trash.
I can
see
isn't that.
Natural? Isn't it great?
I like it.
Yes. I named them that because that's naturally them. You know what I'm saying? And that's weird. From Kensington, man, Poor White Trash. And you know what? That's going to be the premier, one of the premier teams that I have. So, yeah, I work out with Poor White Trash, and I do that. And then, you know, I got to give it to my son, man. My son is 6 years old, but you know what? He stuck by me through all of this, and he helped me out. That little motherfucker would empty my piss bottles and volunteered and didn't give a fuck. Dad, you want me to empty this? Sure. You know what I'm saying? But I couldn't.
No kidding. He is a good kid, too. I mean, he's really...
Thank you. He's a good kid. He loves wrestling 24/7. That's all he does in love, and I'm going to support him and stuff like that. But, you know, it just is what it is. But, yeah, I work out with Full White Trash, and... I got to give it to a guy named JT Wilcoxon. I was staying over at his house for a while, and he helped me out. Ironhead Ed Bell, Chucky's twin, you know. You know what's fucked up, man? Tell you a fucked up story, man. Well, I got out of the hospital. I still wanted to be in the business, and I went to Chucky. I said, Chucky, listen, you know, I can't wrestle no more, but I can manage. Why don't you and your brother team up and be the Nightmares, you know, the Nightmare Twins? And let me manage. And Chuck said no. He didn't want to team with his brother because he hates his brother. It's always a competition thing. I said, fuck that. Put the other side. Let it be business. You guys are fucking twins. You just do what I tell you. Everything will be fine. You guys will get over. You guys will get booked. And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it.
Huh.
So, you know, whatever. But I'm cool with his brother, man. His twin brother. And, you know, everything's cool.
Well, when you look back at your career, everything you've done, 17 years, the friendships you've made, the things that might not have worked out, I mean, what do you take away from 17 years in this business?
What do I take away?
Yeah, I mean, what do you look back on and say it was worth it?
The friendships that I made, like, one of my good friends, Bill Astor, and it's not a name drop or nothing like that. See, I didn't say his name through the whole episode, but he's a real close friend. He came and visited me, and he's a good friend. I look at him as just Bill, but I used to look at him back in the day, like, wow, he was in the Lords of the Ring, VCR tape,
mm-hmm.
and I stole Betamax. And I used to watch him and stuff like that and idolize the guy. Now he's a friend, you know. We go over to each other's house and stuff like that. And listen, the friendships that I made in the business, the brother, the camaraderie, that's right there is better than anything. Because in real life, I'm a piece of shit. But in professional wrestling, I'm, people actually look up to me, and people are friendly to me and stuff. I got made friends, you know, my friend Mike Silk. Listen, I can name people on and on and on. They're going to get pissed off that I didn't name them and stuff, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of friends in the business, and you know, really. New Jack saved my life.
Who did?
He saved my life, man. He saved my life.
How?
This is exclusive. Nobody knows about this either. This is an exclusive. The extra, like the DVD extra. New Jack saved my life, and I'm going to tell you what happened. When I was in the hospital, and I was out of my mind, and New Jack, this is a little bit after he told Jerry Lawler, you know, I hope he dies, and all this and that, and this and that, and this and that. He called me. I'm not going to tell you what he said, but he said good things that you wouldn't expect from him. So I'm not going to put it out there, what kind of, you know, personal life. Listen, he's a good dude. And he gave me encouraging words. And then when I got out, he gave me heads up on some of the meds that I take. And he told me, do this. If this happened, go back to the hospital, do this, do that. Well, whatever he said was going to happen did happen. And I immediately went to the hospital, and I wouldn't have went if he didn't tell me, because I had a doctor's appointment 3 days later. So I would have just, me personally, I would have just like, I'll tell the doctor about it, this and that. He told me I should go right away, and I went, and I had to get a blood transfusion. And a lot of people don't know about this. Nobody knows about this. But he called me, texted me while I was there, and told me exactly what to do, what's going to happen, and exactly what he said happened did happen, and he saved my life, because if I didn't go, I would have died. This is after I got out of the hospital, after the coma. I had to go back. Yeah, so New Jack saved my life. So, I've known him for 15 years, man, you know. And me and him never had bad words, never had a fight or anything like that. And he saved my life. So, shout out to him.
Well, Aaron, I'm telling you, it has been quite a night. It has been 2 hours and 40 minutes about, and is there anything else you wanted to cover before we say goodnight to everyone?
Gino Moore and Dapper, let's talk about them, NWS. Gino Moore, people hate him, I love Gino Moore. Gino Moore, my son calls him Uncle Gino, you know. When I was in the hospital, talked to him a lot, you know. Gino Moore is, he keeps me going. Gino Moore is the oldest fat guy that I know, okay? So what I'm saying is he gives me hope that, hey, you know, there's fat people, you know, when you get old, you know.
That movie, Card Subject to Change?
That was Dapper. Gino, the bigger guy. That was Dapper. Gino.
Okay, I think I know who you're talking to, but the guy who, he was in that movie, but not as featured,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. On Netflix, and I'm in the movie too. Okay.
I know you. I'm telling you a story. You told plenty of stories.
Oh, yeah,
The first time I saw the Nigerian Nightmares was in that movie. I shit you not. Was in that movie, and I said, I got to see what these guys are about. And it was just like a 5-second clip in the very beginning, kind of like when the credits are rolling, and there you guys are. January of 2012, you guys are booked to take on the Midnight Sensations down in Delaware.
Okay.
I turned to my friend, Ryan, who became Slim Burgundy. I turned to my friend, I said, we got to go down there and see that. This is the greatest gimmick you'll ever see. And he's like, I don't know, Delaware, it's a long drive, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is before we started going to all these indie shows, doing whatever we're doing. We get another guy, we go down, we see the Dumbo drop, and that started this entire path, which eventually led to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. It's you, Aaron.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was the Nigerian Nightmares. You probably didn't even know this.
No, I didn't know that.
But now you know. It was because of that movie, Card Subject to Change.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a clip of you. Saw that you guys were booked in Delaware, had to go. And then it all steamrolled.
It rolled, all right.
No, but that was the night you did the Dumbo drop on some unfortunate soul that happened to get in your way. And it was, I never saw anything like that in my life, and I was like, this is amazing. And then we started following you around. That's why we went to New Moon. Then now I'm part of New Moon. So, I mean, this is, it's just so, and it was the fact that you were booked in Delaware. Started the whole ride, believe it or not.
Wow.
Thanks a lot,
that's
Aaron.
Great. That's great, man. I didn't know that. You know, that's good to hear and stuff like that. But if you listen to Dan, you know, I basically just, you know, I guess I did nothing in this business, you know. I guess, you know. But, listen, that's great. Definitely good to hear that. See, stuff like that makes me feel good. It's not about the accomplishments that I made in the ring. It's about the other people that I've helped out. Because the thing is, nobody helped me out when I was in the business starting out. Nobody helped me out. So I always said, you know, I'm going to help people out like Moses, man. You're part in the Red Sea, man. Just helping people out. And Aaron is Moses' brother, man. So,
that's true.
Yeah
who took over after Moses? It was Aaron. Aaron picked up the keys.
That's right. And then Aaron is Elvis' middle name. You know, I like the fat, out of shape Kung Fu Elvis. I'm just letting you know. I like that one better.
You like the white jumpsuit Elvis.
Yeah, oh, that's funny, man. That's great.
Now, Aaron,
yeah.
It certainly has been a pleasure. Plenty of people called in. Where can people, if they listen to this, they want to find out more about The Juice?
Yes, I am The Juice now. So that's it's a new era. You know, Aaron, The Juice now. And I'm looking for, I'm going to be a manager now, and I met Slick, and I'm going to follow the footsteps of Slick. You know what I'm saying? I take it as a torch cast. And I can't wrestle, but I can manage now. And I like to manage teams and manage people and give my expertise. And I'm going to have my own Juice crew. So I'm just scouting talent now. And so far, I just got Poor White Trash and got the Young Gunners. And I'm going to try to get more.
Sounds great. Now, is there any place people can find you on Facebook or Twitter?
Aaron Juice Gaming. Aaron Juice Gaming. Whatever. That's it, you know. Twitter, I got a Twitter account, but I'm never on there and stuff like that.
There's not even a tweet. Yeah, you haven't even tweeted.
There's a guy named Jason Gotti, who's an up-and-coming good wrestler. I want to give a shout-out to him. He definitely helped me out when I was in the hospital. I was hallucinating. I thought the nurses were trying to kill me. So I told him to stay with me. Visiting hours were over 8 o'clock, and he stayed till 12. And he told me, he was like, fuck that, I'm not leaving. This is my friend. And he stayed because I thought the nurses were trying to kill me. This is what I saw. I was hallucinating. So Jason Gotti, good wrestler. He'll be at the KCW show Saturday. And he just got signed with House of Hardcore, and he wrestles for FWE. And, shout out to him. All that good shit. And everything's everything. You guys heard the real Aaron Gainey and stuff. You learned that. I got a saying that I'm going to let you guys know. And James Ward. James Ward, good friend. He was there for me at the hospital and stuff. A lot of people don't like him, but
I've known him for years. That's my boy. Now, there's a, I was talking about, there's an old saying that I got, that my life is WWE, besides my son, my life is WWE, okay? Wrestling, women, and eating. If it has nothing to do with that, I don't fuck with you. I don't want nothing to do with it. Wrestling, women, and eating. Now, if I could do all that at the same time, oh, my God, that'd be great. So, basically, I'll be banging a chick while I'm eating a cheesecake, watching the wrestling. Well, listen, one time I was receiving head by watching SmackDown. Chris Jericho was doing a promo. This was years ago, of course, when SmackDown was hot. I went back to 7. And she's blowing me while I was watching SmackDown. And that was pretty good. All I needed was a sandwich, and I would have had the trifecta.
They call that a blogie.
Yeah,
a blogie.
I never did the trifecta. So anybody, you know, write me on Facebook if you actually are having sex while you're eating a cheesesteak and watching wrestling, then that's the WWE trifecta. So
try it.
Yo, it's great. But you know what? If you try it with your woman, that kind of doesn't count. You got to try it with somebody, some chick. But if it's like your woman you live with stuff, you kind of like, you know, that doesn't count. Because your woman you live with is going to do anything anyway, you know?
All right, well, that's not going to happen then.
But, other than that, any of you guys have anything to talk about? Because I do want to fill the rest of these minutes, so.
Now, I got to pitch a few things anyway, and I want to end it a little bit early. I do appreciate it, though.
Okay, that's fine. So my last words is, all right, that guys, you know, and fuck you, Dean Dixon, and looking cool, man.
Okay. Yeah, fuck you, Dean Dixon.
That's a new soundbite for me. Right. Aaron, you have a great night. Yeah.
You too. Have a great night. I'll see y'all, fellas.
All right. So that was Aaron Ganey. Are the Walt Whitman and Ben Franklin bridges still?
No, they're already burned down. It's gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think
we're okay though, because Jake called in. So.
Oh no, we're fine. I was. Listen, I called him like a season. I got the information. I asked a question that I wanted an answer to, and I got the answer.
He's not a
racist. I disagree, but Aaron was shooting, and I got to take his word for it, man.
I think my favorite part was when it went down to Delaware out of nowhere. So.
That wasn't out of nowhere.
You know. But then, of course, Riot Pro Wrestling is this Friday. That's Ferris Hills, New Jersey. Of course, we heard from Paul the Package, his first match.
Do me a favor, Paul. Don't call again. Shoot. Don't do that.
Not in the middle of an interview.
Oh, no, not in the middle of an interview. Wait till I'm dead.
Well, you know, I could see if there was perhaps a lull in the conversation. We're like in the middle of something. I forget exactly.
Oh, listen, I want to tell you about the meaning of life. Hold on, I got to take a call. Hey, guys, my first match is Saturday.
I love you, Dan. So, of course, Riot Pro Wrestling featuring Paul the Package's first match.
Go ahead.
No, the match I'm looking forward to is the product David Starr taking on the new flavor, Shane Strickland.
Is Paul really going to wrestle Xerox?
Yes.
I hope he kills him.
Yes, that will be taking place this Friday, Ferris Hills, the Lower Bucks County YMCA. And, of course, Kareem is having a show this Saturday. I wish I had more information about it, but listen back to when Kareem was on. You'll get all the information there. That's Saturday coming up. I believe it's in Bucks County or something. I'm not sure. I don't know. But there's actually a lot of good people booked on that, so check that out. He went over the card about an hour ago, so listen to that. Dan, is there anything else you wanted to cover?
I just wanted to say, anybody who heard their name here today is more than welcome to come on the show and shoot as well.
No, they're not.
Well, I think they, except for Joe.
No. You know what? That door was wide open a year ago.
I have since shut it and filled it with concrete and brick.
Yes. Yes,
Dan. But the other door... Come on, Dan. Come on.
No, that's been shut as well. It was wide open. I don't care, Dan.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
The door was open. You had your chance, and oh well.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
And who's going to disagree with Aaron Ganey, quite frankly?
I'm not going to disagree with Aaron Ganey.
Now, Dan, next week you will not be joining us. Omega and I, we are going to have a...
Are you telling me or asking me?
You were telling me. You were making a big deal about it.
You said to keep you updated. I said I would keep you updated. There's still a possibility I might join you.
Well, there's not really a need to, because the way I formatted the show, I don't need you.
Okay, well, then I won't be there.
Then fine. I'll need you anyway.
I'll be there anyway.
It's a lot of MMA discussion for the first, like, half hour, 45 minutes.
Okay.
And then just clips.
Oh, you're doing a best of?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I will be there.
It's a clip show. A clip show, Dan.
It's a clip show. It makes up for the lack of MMA this week.
It does. It's just going to be, I'm going to edit every interview we've done and edit your part out. So it's basically just going to be me with, Chris asking my one question.
He's going to read it. Now, what I want to know is,
anyway, so that's next week. It's going to be the year, the half year in review for MMA. And we're also going to take a look at UFC 162, plus a ton of clips. It's the best of three.
Well, and then I have to publicly say I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, well.
My family's going to be here, and I appreciate that.
Oh, heaven forbid you go on to do a podcast for 2 hours.
Oh, shut up.
Heaven forbid.
Because nobody visits you.
You know.
Oh, by the way, I do want to say, I want to shout out, he's not listening probably, but your brother.
He does listen from time to time.
He does. Well, I want to shout out to Dale, and I'm glad he's doing better. We talked a little bit since he's been home.
Much better.
And I wanted to shout him out, and I'm glad to know that he's not dead.
Yeah, close call. He said that he was, he felt bad. Told his significant other that he was feeling bad. Next thing he knew, he was in a helicopter. So,
Jesus.
Yeah. But I suppose you could say close call, but things are much better now.
Good. And I wanted to shout that out. And I hope we have a show next week.
Oh, well, no, we're fine. On July 10th, we return, and Dan will return for this. It's going to be Girls' Night with Chrissy Rivera. And I'm working on another guest. If she ever gets back to Canada, hopefully she checks her email when she gets back.
Back to Canada. Trish Stratish?
No. But it's been one heck of a night. Dan?
Thank you.
That's the way God planned it, my friend.
Pretty much, and...
Wait, did you say something?
Yeah, no, I thought you wanted me to elaborate.
No, that's the way God planned it.
All right.
See you next week.
Bye. Dan Lowe 83.